Rob Has a Podcast is possible in part when our listeners shop at the greatest store of all time, Amazon.com. Thanks to everybody out there who uses the link robhasawebsite.com/Amazon as a shortcut to the Amazon homepage. And don't miss out on all of the great pre-Black Friday lightning deals at Amazon by going to robhasawebsite.com/deals. Enjoy the show. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's still trying to get over last night's hangover of candy, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino. Oh, and look who's here. It's Nicole.
Hello.
Nicole, how are you?
Fantastic.
All right, just before everybody gets too excited, so Nicole is here with us now.
Right now.
Right now. She is not with us during the Survivor interview portion, and she'll be back with us at the end.
I'll be sleeping.
Yes, be sleeping. Sometimes we record the podcast out of order.
Yes.
And so I had to record it.
That's how production works sometimes. That's how
But I don't like to reveal how the sausage is made all the time. So what happens a lot of times is I will record the interview portion of the show during the daytime,
mm-hmm.
and then at nighttime, Nicole and I will record usually the last portion of the show, but we're going to record the beginning of the show also after. So it's, yeah, just trust. So Nicole is here in the beginning and the end. It's like a sandwich. Nicole is the bread, and me and Colton Cumbie are the delicious meat part of the sandwich.
That sounds dirty.
It does sound dirty. I will be honest. Yes, so we are having
a little uncomfortable right now.
Yes, you should be. So we have our podcast with Colton. We're going to talk about Colton. More on that in just a bit. Let's talk about some important stuff first. First off, Nicole and I are with heavy hearts this week. We are thinking of everybody back home.
Yes.
Nicole and I are both native Long Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
Our hometown of Wanton, New York has been hit pretty hard by the hurricane this week, Hurricane Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are dealing with some really tough stuff right now. Nicole and I are, my mom and Nicole's parents are dealing with blackouts right now. Among, you know, there's a lot of shortages of gas and also all sorts of stuff. There's
my brother's house is flooded.
No heat, right? So a lot of our families are dealing with really tough stuff right now. So you know, our heart goes out to them and everybody else who is suffering right now, probably not listening to podcasts, but we are thinking of you guys and hope everybody gets a speedy recovery and is, you know, in out of harm's way for now.
Just try to stay strong. You'll get through this and, you know, it's almost over.
Almost. Hopefully the power and heat and everything gets turned back on soon.
They're saying another week before the power goes back on.
In some places, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, on a similar note, our exit interview for this week, RC St. Amour, was canceled. Apparently, RC also had to be evacuated from her house. She's without a phone service right now.
She was in Zone A.
Zone A, yes.
Zone A was cray.
That was cray? Is that what they're saying on Twitter?
Yes.
Zone A was cray?
Mm-hmm.
It's so, I can't believe you said that.
I'm not the one who said it. It's on Twitter.
Is that the headline in the paper?
It was in the post.
So RC was not able to do any press today. I thought that maybe she just didn't want to talk to us, but no, apparently.
It does happen.
It has happened before in the past. No, she is, I think she is doing okay, but she has been evacuated with that phone service. So hopefully, sooner than later, we can get in touch with RC.
She actually got a double whammy because she was in Zone A, so she had to evacuate. And I think that she had friends and family that was actually in Long Beach, which was hit really hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're thinking about you, RC.
All right, so we're thinking of you, RC. And so hopefully everybody is doing okay. So in far less serious news, Nicole, this was a very exciting week for us here at Rob Has a Podcast.
It
always is, but this was an especially exciting week this week
uh-huh.
because we found out on Sunday night that Rob Has a Podcast is nominated for the third year in a row for a podcast award for Best Entertainment Podcast at the upcoming Podcast Awards.
We're so awesome.
Oh, well, yes. Thank you. They said especially from you. They
oh,
said
yes.
That was,
I've
what,
been so, so
that was what put us over the edge, they said. Especially for Nicole.
I think it was because I've been on it less. It
is makes, that why?
It makes the quality better.
Is that why? All right. So we thank you guys so much for nominating us for podcast awards. But the way that the podcast awards, it would be much easier if they would just listen to all the podcasts and then make a decision.
Let's
but
see.
That's not how they want to do it. At the podcast awards.
Yes, they should listen to the podcast and say, whoa, these guys are funny. Give them an award.
That's what they should say. Yes. In that voice?
In that voice.
In that voice. Okay, so here's how this works. Starting today, November 1st, you can vote one time a day for all of the podcasts that are nominated for the different awards in the different categories. We are nominated for Best Entertainment Podcast. Our friends, John Norton, and everybody at the Tribe Podcast are nominated for Best Produced Podcast. So we have an alliance with them.
It is very well produced.
So we say, vote for them, vote for us when you submit your ballot. Now, I know what you guys are saying. Hey, Rob, what's in it for me? What's in it for me to go and vote? Why do I have to go waste my time voting for you to win some stupid award that I don't even care about? And first I say, okay, take it easy.
Yeah, settle down.
Settle down. You're being a little cynical.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, well, I have the answer of what's in it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have decided that I need to do something exciting for you guys if we win this podcast award.
And what might that
be? And here's what I'm putting on the table, Nicole.
What?
Brace yourself.
I'm a little nervous.
The podcast awards are going to be held in Vegas.
Ooh.
And no, we're not getting divorced if we win the podcast award. In Vegas at the New Media Expo, which I am attending.
Me too.
With you. If I win the award at New Media Expo for Best Entertainment Podcast, I am going to let Dan Giesling, winner of Big Brother, shave my head.
Get the hell out of here.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
I am
not.
Going to shave
Absolutely not.
My I'm going to allow Dan Giesling to shave my head completely bald.
You do not have the head to be bald.
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes, Nicole. This is happening.
No, do not vote.
This is out
Do
there.
Not vote.
Yes, Nicole. Yes. I'm dead serious about this.
I will divorce you.
That's
I'm saying it
we'll
right
be
now.
In Vegas.
Right
it's
now.
A short drive to Reno.
Right now, I will divorce you if you shave your head.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
This is grounds for divorce. This was in the prenup.
You can vote once a day.
Do not vote.
Podcast awards.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
This, no. This,
yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Get MJQ on the line.
This is serious, Nicole.
This is serious. Get MJQ on the line because I will divorce you.
All right, well, you
can. And I will take everything you got.
Well, you won't get much. Use the hashtag #RHAPvote, and you can vote once a day. I'll be posting on Twitter every once a day the reason of the day why you should vote for us for a podcast award. And if we win, I will.
You will not shave.
I will post the video. I will post the video also. I need you to film the video.
You are sick. You are a sick person.
Yes. I spoke to Dan. He's okay with this.
Of course he's okay with this.
Yes.
I'm calling your mother.
You can call her. She still has cell phone service.
She is not going to like this.
Okay. All right. So.
Some people have the head to be bald.
Yes.
You
maybe
do
I
not.
Do.
You
don't
no,
know that.
You do not.
You don't know for
it's
a fact.
It's kind of alien-like.
You don't know that.
I know that.
You don't know that. All right. So that's going to be podcastawards.com.
It's not going to grow back.
I think it grows back.
I think you're beyond the age where it grows back.
We'll see. We'll see. Only if we win. That's the only way we have to find out.
I hope we lose.
Okay. What kind of team spirit do you have? You're like somebody from Tan Dan.
I'm on Team Hair.
Team Hair? Okay. Fair enough. All right. So if you have a thing for Nicole and you want to try to move in there, vote for, you should be voting for Rob as a podcast. Maybe this is your chance.
Obviously, I don't like bald guys, okay?
All right. Unless you're bald. All right. And if you also want to help support the podcast, make sure you're subscribed on iTunes to Rob Has a Podcast. And if you're going along and listen to this podcast, you want to leave us some feedback. Or give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. That helps us in our iTunes rankings, which is always appreciated. Now,
is the rooster a divorce attorney?
I don't know if he works divorces. We can find out.
I will find out.
We can find out, okay? All right. So that being said, all right. So I got a lot of criticism already today.
Wait, till you get your head shaved. Okay. Then you're going to get more.
More than normal from people who want to know, Rob, why are you why Colton? Why? We don't want to hear from him. We hate Colton. He's the most hated survivor.
I don't know if he's the most hated.
I think he might be. Based on the number of emails I got today. Emails, comments, tweets, Facebook messages. Rob, I'm not listening this week. So if you're not listening this week, you're not going to hear this part.
Yeah, but you're not going to know about the bald head.
Here's what happened.
Okay.
Oh, back in August, we were talking about how we wanted to do our preview podcast for the new season with Corinne. Mm-hmm. Okay? And Corinne was
unavailable.
She was unavailable to do the podcast. So I got an email from Colton who said, "Hey, I know Corinne's not available. Let me jump in and I'll do the preview podcast."
That's interesting.
And I said, "You know what? I don't think that's the right spot for you."
Yeah.
So I wrote him an email. I don't think that's the right spot for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we want to clean up his image.
Yeah. That week he called me. And I had a very nice conversation on the phone. And I said, "You know what? This is not doesn't seem like the same person that I watched on TV, who I did not care for as a character,
right?
But somebody that I did think knew a lot about the game. He impresses me with his survivor knowledge, and I think he's somebody who has some interesting things to say about the podcast. So if you cannot stomach Colton, if you don't want anything to do with Colton, then I don't know if you're going to turn this off. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You didn't really think this through.
Yeah.
If you didn't even want to hear his voice.
You know what, everybody.
Because you're listening, you're about 10 minutes into the podcast.
Everybody deserves a second chance, excluding, murderers, rapists, and men that wear socks with sandals.
Very good. Very good. Are you doing material? Are you a writer?
But that's not material. I just said it.
Okay. That being said, if you want to give Colton a chance, I've already done the interview at this point,
yes.
And I can tell you.
Is he wearing socks with sandals?
I didn't ask.
Oh, okay.
I didn't ask him. I think, you know, I never know until I hear the feedback from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you will have a different opinion of him after you listen to the interview.
Great.
But that's for you guys to decide, not for me. So without further ado, let me bring you my interview with Colton. All right, everybody, I have here on the line with us today one of the most controversial survivors in the history of the show. He is somebody who knows a thing or two about being medically evacuated from the game. He can tell us a lot about this season. He is from Survivor One World, and it is the one and only Colton Cumby.
Ta-da!
Colton, welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, and boy, I don't even know where to get started because, Colton, since I announced that you were coming on this show, I have been flooded with emails and Facebook messages from people telling me what a horrible idea this was.
Oh, no.
So I'm hoping you are not going to prove all these people correctly in our extensive conversation about all things Survivor.
I hope not. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, I think we're gonna stick to the show. We're gonna talk about what's going on this season, last season, and we're gonna show people that maybe you do know a thing or two about the game. You're not just a controversial soundbite.
Horrible person.
You're not just a horrible person. There's more to you than just being a horrible person, right?
Yes, there is. There are many layers to my horribleness.
Very, very layered.
Yeah.
All right, so Colton, let's start off here with this season of bringing back three medically evacuated people, because it seems like this season was almost inspired by you, a guy who's really controlling the game, who goes out at the same exact point as these three other guys on the sixth episode of their season.
Yeah, first of all, let me apologize. The CMA awards are on in the background, so if Taylor Swift wins, I will probably scream. So don't be alarmed.
Okay.
That's all that happens.
Spoiler alert, in case you're DVRing it.
Yeah. And to answer the question, though, I definitely think that this season was, geared towards not necessarily me, but people who, were medically evacuated from the show. We all went out the same episode. I think that the one thing that I didn't have in common that the other three did is I'm really not a middle-aged man, and I'm not someone that I think like a group of new people would perceive as a quote-unquote leader. So I think it would be harder for me to go out there and kind of like take that leadership role, because I mean, let's get real. If people were like, you know, like they look to Scoop into like, how do we start fire? Which he might not be the best person to look for that. But, you know, they look to, like, for these people for certain things. Like they look for like, where should we build the shelter? You've done this before. And I would be like, hell if I know. I didn't build anything when I was out there. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. What would the reaction be of the new players to having you as their team captain?
Oh, I think this would be amazing. I think if like the three of us came up and it was like, you know, you like, Yellow Tribe, like, you get Mike Scoopin, and they're like, you know, he killed a pig, like, he's this awesome person, and they're like, yeah, like, I can just see little Lisa Welch all so excited. And then it's like, you know, and you blue team, you get Russell Swan, who was willing to die for this game, as he's reminded us 582 times, and you know, they're like, yes. Yeah, and then it's like, you Calabout, you guys get Colton, like, Jeff can't just probably shit himself.
Probably. Yeah, it would be a very, very funny reaction. So let's get into, we'll talk about everything from your season, but I really want to get into talking about this crazy episode that happened last night and get your take on this. Because I thought this was one of the best episodes of Survivor in a long time. I said, I think it's the best episode since the Cochran flip. I think this might even be better than that, because this was really interesting from a strategy point of view. And sorry to skip over all of One World, Colton.
No. Although I don't think the Cochran flip really. I thought like every episode in South Pacific was absolutely horrible.
Oh, well. Well, don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. Please, I don't want to get complaints from people about who loves South Pacific.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not being a hater. I wasn't a fan of that season. I don't know. It was very blah for me.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was actually the best season in between this and Heroes versus Villains. But that's a whole other conversation. Okay. But let's get into it. So we had this really crazy merge situation that ended up going down, where you had the four people from Calabar, then you had the seven people from Tandang, and then in between that you had Denise and Malcolm also. You have all these hidden immunity idols, and it really could have gone either way. And so ultimately for Jeff Kent, who decided what was going to happen, he had to choose between, do I want to start a new six-person thing with Scoopin' and RC and the four people already from Calabar, or do I want to go off with Pete and Artis and Abby Maria and I guess Lisa and start up this thing? Let's vote out the returning players. Kent ultimately decides they target Penner. He plays the idol, yada, yada, yada. You guys all saw the episode if you're listening to this show. Colton, what was your take on that? Did Jeff Kent make the right move in your opinion?
Okay, first of all, I think
as a person who has made crazy moves on Survivor,
I think it. First of all, I love like what you were saying about the dynamic of it. About there's like these three tribes, and there's these two people from this one tribe that was absolutely, you know, destroyed, and like what are they gonna do? And I don't know. There's just so many complex levels. I love the whole three tribe idea because it became just this. I don't want to say the F word, but this cluster F, if you will, for lack of a better term. Where it was like, you don't right. know who's going to go with who. And, you know, you have this tribe of Tandang who's never been to tribal council. And, you know, like RC said, they're not one big happy family. And are they going to break apart, or are they going to stick together and then like try to regroup at the end? Then I loved how many like levels there were. Cause like in our season, when they merged, you knew what was going to happen pretty much. Like, especially mm-hmm. after like, you know, Jay goes home, it's obvious the guys are getting picked off one by one. So, no, I definitely think that as far as like Jeff Kent's move, I mean, I don't know, because I feel like at this point, you know, getting rid of RC, like, yeah, that benefits him because it's a Tandang gone and it's someone who, you know, I don't know. It's complicated because I don't know. If I were him, I think I would have tried to have gotten rid of, I don't know, I might would have kept Penner around for a little bit longer just for the simple fact that as long as Penner's in the game, there's a target on him and not on you.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it was a mistake for Kent just for the reason in that if they have a solid four-person deal with Tandang, even if you can't really trust, you know, Denise and she, you know, could go over and go with Malcolm, if they have those three guys of Penner and Carter and Kent, and they bring in the other two, they're still in the majority there. If they have Denise, of a four-person thing inside of a six-person thing, which outnumbers the five people that are from the other thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I know. It's really complicated. But, you know, my thing and my question when I was watching the episode was, I wonder how much Denise has been talking about her relationship with Malcolm. Because in a way, I can see where people would be like, it would be really stupid of her to say she's really close with Malcolm. But also, like, she's on a tribe right now that is way down in numbers. And I could see it being strategically beneficial for her to, like, you know, make a case of, if you guys keep me, I have one person who can help us on that other side. And you know, Malcolm's been living with Tandang, and he could act as a mole. And, you know, she could easily sell that to Kent and Carter and Penner, like, you know, keep me because I can bring Malcolm over. And then you have five, and then you pick up Scoobin and RC. I don't know. I think it was a mistake, because if you just lay out the numbers, you could have easily, you know, gotten rid of, I'm sorry. I think it wasn't a mistake necessarily, because you could have gotten rid of RC, not RC. You should have targeted someone else who wasn't in that core group. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, elaborate a little more.
Like, I think it would have been smarter to, not necessarily saying this is what I wanted to happen, but I think it would have been smarter to get rid of someone like Pete, because it's like, he was never really,
right.
He's like on the other side, and you have Kent, Penner, Carter, Denise, Malcolm, and then the other two, Scoopin and RC, who are on the outs. That's seven. So take out Pete, Abby, Artis, Lisa, and then you're down to these seven. And then it's like, you have the majority. You are three Calibout. Technically, you guys could go to the end if you wanted to.
Yeah, so we're on the same page that we think that the right move would have been for Jeff Kent to target Pete, go with Penner,
yeah,
bring in Scoopin, bring in RC. But I guess the ultimate factor for him is like, hey, I'm not going to, you know, team up with the two returning players, because then when we get down to five, they're going to get rid of me. Which I think is a little foolish to be worried about with 11 people left in the game.
I do too. And I think it's kind of, it's foolish in a way of like, you know, if Russell Swan was still there, I could understand it, because it's like, yeah, the three returning players could get together and say, you know, the only way one of us is going to win is if it's three of us at the end. But at this point, you know, if it's a final three, they technically have to take a third person. So it's like, if they have this big deal of, you know, a returning player is not going to win, well, who's to say that, I mean, Jeff Kent is the most like them. So, you know, and if they could figure out that he's a professional baseball player, which I don't know, I'm not a sports person whatsoever. So like I would have no idea that he was a professional baseball player if I were out there. And I feel like I kind of get the sense of he's like shocked that no one recognizes him. So I don't want to say he's not a big deal, because I honestly have no idea. Like, are you a sports fan?
Yes, I am. And he is a pretty big deal.
Okay.
If we're going to put this in Hollywood terms, I would say Jeff Kent is probably an upper echelon B-lister, I would say, in the athlete world. He's not a totally, you know, everybody recognizes
he's not
him.
Jennifer Aniston. He's more like,
yeah, he couldn't open a movie on his own, but he'd be a solid supporting guy in your athlete montage. He'd be a good B-list athlete, I'll
say. Gotcha. Okay, because I was just, I don't know, I get the like feeling that he's like really, he's like, you know, no one's recognizing me. And it's like, I get that, you know, he doesn't want them to, but I also get the sense he's kind of disappointed. He's like, you know, why does no one know who I am? And the same thing with Lisa Welch. I know they keep making references like they're too young, but I told my boyfriend, I was like, if I were on this season, like, and I was a returning player and I saw her sitting there, I would have no idea. Now, if Marsha freaking Brady was sitting there, I would freak the hell out.
Right. But I mean, Brady Bunch, a little bit more of an iconic show than the Facts of Life. I mean, how old are you? Are you 22?
I'm 21.
21. Okay. So that you're just, Facts of Life is not airing anywhere at the time that you're old enough to be watching.
Television. Think I was conceived when Lisa Welch was on television.
Yeah, it didn't really have, I know people have said, yes, it did air in syndication, but it didn't have like the long syndication run of like Nick at Night, of, you know, being on all the time, whatever your local TV stations were. It wasn't on in that block of like other shows that, you know, were just on all the time. So there is a definite line of, if you're under 30 years old, you have no, there's no chance you know who Lisa Welch is.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's just, that was my point, was like, you know, they keep making a big deal and they're like, oh, these celebrities. And I'm like, I would have no idea, which I mean, it's not really saying a lot, because I would have had no idea who Jimmy Johnson was. Like, I would have just thought he was some sweet old man who was in a Viagra commercial.
I believe it was it Extends? I don't think it was Viagra.
Some like male enhancement or something.
Male enhancement, yes. If you were in Jeff Kent's position, though, mm-hmm. and you didn't play with any returning players on your season, but I mean, would this be something you were concerned about to try to get rid of? Like, how real of a concern should this be for Jeff Kent? I need to get out all the returning players.
So you're saying if I weren't a returning player and I were in the position of someone who's yeah. playing with returning players?
Right. If you were in Jeff Kent's position.
Okay. I think it depends. Like, it wouldn't be that big of a deal for me. My big thing in Survivor is, what can you do for me? Like, you know, and if a returning player offers me any kind of, like, you know, incentive to keep them, no matter what that may be, then I'm going to keep them. And my big thing is, I don't understand why people freak out about idols, especially if they know who has them. It's like, if you know who has the idol, can contain it. And that's kind of, you know, in relation to my season, I never understood why they didn't try to flush mine. But it's like, you know, I don't think it's a big deal that Penner has an idol. I don't think it's a big deal that he's a returning player. Now, if there were like five returning players and they could all get together, yeah, that's an issue. But it's like him and one other guy. You know, what can he really do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get what the big threat was so much for Jeff Kent to want to get rid of Penner. It seems like he's really hung up on the fact, well, I'm not going to let Penner last longer than me. I don't want to be made a fool
exactly.
out of
exactly, and
if
I don't
Penner...
get that either, because it's like, you know, it's like, from day one, when they hit the beach, before they even were getting out of the boat, Jeff Kent had the whole tribe rally around. We don't want a returning player to win. And it's like, you know, I understand that. That's great and wonderful. But really, like, you don't know these people. Like, you know, like Dawson could be driving you up a tree in 2 days and you don't, which she did. And, you know, you may want to keep Penner over her. I mean, I don't know. For me personally, I would think it would be for someone who I don't necessarily agree with having returning players, just for the simple fact that I've said this before. If I feel like when newbies and returning players are mixed, and I think this is true, like over the course of every single season that they have been, the returning players like mow down the newbies. If you look at fans versus favorites, all four of the final four were not. No, was Natalie Bolton in the final four?
I think she was. I think Eric, Ice Cream Scooper Eric, went out at five, okay. And then I think Natalie was the first one out at the four.
Well, apart from her, you know, like, the returning players really dominated that season. No one made any moves. They followed Parvati, you know, Suri. They followed those people. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that either, one, these people are super fans, even though I do not believe Natalie Bolton was a super fan. You know, Miss, like, what was that question she answered? And it was like, she's 40 or something. I don't know.
Anyway, right. We don't need to revisit
she's
that
like
right
Gloria
now.
She's like Gloria Query with Survivor China All-Stars. anyway. But, you know, like, these people, I think they're either super fans and they're like Cochrane, where they're like starstruck by the returning players. And they're like, oh, like, I just want to play with these people. Or they're on the opposite end and they're a recruit that, you know, Lynn Spillman picked up at an ice cream shop. And never seen anything, any, you know, Survivor episodes except for what they're shown in casting. And they look to these people for guidance. I think that's like the Natalie Tenorelli. I think there's two extreme opposites. There's the John Cochran, where it's like you're starstruck and you want to play with them. And then there's the Natalie Tenorelli, where you're like, what in the hell am I doing? Just tell me what to do. And I
that's interesting.
That's and I think yeah. what Jeff Kent is trying to avoid. I think Jeff Kent was scared that, you know, these people would look to Penner for guidance. And I think that's why he's like, let's get rid of him. Because he wants yeah. them to look to him.
Interesting. Interesting points all around. I hadn't really ever thought about that. The two types of Survivor people. Either you know everything about Survivor or you know nothing about Survivor. And these are
especially
the two
when there's
people.
Returning players involved. I mean, you know, like Boston Rob, he led those people like sheep. And if you ask any of them, like, were you a fan before? Chances are they're going to be like, well, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very interesting. I think probably out of all those people, maybe Francesco was the person who watched the show the most. And like Christina, maybe also. And those are the people Boston Rob is going to get rid of.
Exactly. Because yeah. that's threatened them, you know. So.
Interesting. So Jeff Kent wants to get rid of anybody who knows anything about Survivor who's going to go with Penner. Although it didn't seem like there's anybody who is that loyal to Penner.
No, but I think that's because Jeff Kent's in everyone's ear saying, we got to get rid of Penner. Like, I think, like, Jeff, and it was smart. I mean, you know, you can't fault him for it. When he hit the beach, he planted that seed. And I don't think it's been showcased this way, and I could be completely off base, but I do think Jeff Kent in some way wanted to be the leader, and he wanted to control how the votes were going. And he wanted he wanted to be Penner's role. Like, he wanted to be seen as the decision maker. And so I think that's why he's kind of planted all these seeds of, you can't trust Penner, you can't trust Penner. And another thing, you know, my big question is, when Katie went home, I'm a huge Katie fan, by the way, I'm all about a queen. anything with a crown. But anyways, I don't understand, like, if you want to get rid of Penner, why wait until the merge? Like, why don't you keep Katie, who you know is a number? She's never going to, like, pull off any like huge move. She's gonna stick with you. Like, why not keep her around and get rid of Penner and get rid of, like, that was your opportunity to take out Penner and an idol if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I agree, and I know how you play the game, and I think that you would have felt safe at least in saying, hey, this merge is happening. They're not going to keep us not unmerged for that long. We're not going to have to worry about how many immunity challenges, even if they don't merge us now, 3 days from now, okay, we'll vote out Denise. I mean, what does it matter? Let's get rid of who we want to get rid of now rather than worry about, oh, we got to stay strong for the competitions.
Yeah, exactly, and I think, you know, in order to be successful at Survivor, I think you have to plan long term. Like, I think the people, Kim Spradlin was amazing at this. Like, you have to think what's coming. You always have to be a step ahead of everyone else. And that's why, you know, I know we're going to talk about my season later on, and dare I even mention this, but, you know, people are like, oh, it was the dumbest move ever for Colton to give up immunity. Well, it might have been dumb for the guys for me to give up immunity, and I made a lot of dumb moves. I did a lot of dumb things on my season, so I'm not saying that, you know, I didn't make dumb moves, but I disagree that me convincing them to give up immunity and vote out Bill was a dumb move. Bill was someone that I knew was not with me. I knew he was never going to be on my side. Like, you know, no matter what happened, he was never going to be with me. And so it's like, why? I knew a switch was going to happen. I knew they weren't going to leave us men versus women. And it's like, this is the opportune time because we'd already beat the women 3 times. And so I knew that it was going to happen next. And so it's like, why not just even it out? I had relationships with the women. So, you know, and then you have, and there were so many other people that were just, my big concern was when there was a switch and when there was a merge, I knew there was a certain number of people that had to go. I knew there was a certain number of people who had to be gone for the simple fact of I didn't know what they were going to do. Mike Jefferson scared the hell out of me. Leaf scared the hell out of me. I had no idea what they were going to do. And then when we got switched and I landed on that tribe on New Manano, the Matt Singh of One World, I immediately went to the women and was like, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. Because I knew that if they felt like I wasn't, they would go to Leaf. And I knew that Leaf would probably flip. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, I think you make a good point here. And I've said I thought that that was a decent move for you to go to Tribal Council. It was a bad move for everybody else that wasn't you. So do you think that Tan Dang should have gone ahead and thrown a challenge to get out RC before now?
I think that for me, it was an individual decision. It wasn't like a Manano decision. So I don't know. I mean, the difference in what I did in One World and what I would say someone like, or a tribe like, I forgot the name of Russell's tribe in Redemption Island, the purple one, Zapatera. Yeah, I think the difference is like I made the individual decision that it's best for me, and then I convinced my entire tribe to go along with it. I think Zapatera as a tribe made the decision, we need to get rid of him. And it's kind of the opposite. Like, it was, for me, it was individual. Like, I needed Bill gone because he was a threat to me and he was a threat to my game. And I'll be the first person to admit that. I mean, he was a very dangerous player. He could talk his way out of anything. And, you know, when he came up to me and he was trying to, like, had that conversation and I was like, I'm not talking to you. Yeah, I came across as a spoiled brat and, like, you know, I was stuck up and didn't want to talk to him. But one of the reasons I didn't want to talk to him was that he was so good at, like, talking his way out of situations. I didn't want him to sit there and try to convince me you know, that what I was hearing wasn't true, and that, you know, and then like schmooze me and me trust him again, and they get burned again. But anyways, as far as to answer your question, Tan Dang, I think it's an individual decision. And I think that, you know, had they thrown a challenge, it only takes one person. But if you throw a challenge and then the rest of the tribe decides, like, you know, they are pissed off at you for doing that, they may vote you off. Because, I mean, I don't think they could have convinced Artis to throw a challenge. He didn't want to give up the reward.
And, yeah, that's fair.
You know, and so it's like, let's say that Pete decides, okay, let's, or Abby, like, let's get rid of RC. I'm going to throw this challenge, which it wouldn't have been Abby because she hasn't played in, like, what, but two. And so let's say Pete decides, you know, I'm going to throw this challenge, and he throws it. Well, then he goes back to camp. Artis is pissed off because he knows he threw it. RC and Mike are obviously down to vote for him. And then you have sweet little Lisa, who is probably going to be like, yeah, you know, that wasn't right. Let's vote him off. So does that make sense at all?
Absolutely. That would, yeah, good point. Yeah, Artis is not about to throw a challenge, I wouldn't think. You do have a lot of wild cards there. It's just interesting, you know, going into a merge situation where you have people that you know are going to flip, like Scoopin and like RC. And I feel like Tan Dang really, really got lucky that it just so happened that Jeff Kent hated the fact that Penner was a returning player so much. Like, I think they did a poor job so far in this first part of the game, and they just lucked out that Jeff Kent was, you know, was so anti-Penner and able to bring over Carter. And be able to, because they would have been screwed if they would have had the Calabas stick together plus RC and Penner and Scoopin, you know, work with them.
And I completely agree. And I'm not against flipping. I mean, I'm all for, you know, whatever benefits your individual game. Like, my thing is, we're all there to win $1 million. We're all there to be the sole survivor. And, you know, who's to say, like, what, I mean, like, you want to, like, you want yourself, only one person can win. You want yourself to progress. And it's like, you know, you do what is going to help you. And yeah, sometimes, you know, you make friends and you want to help them out too, but at the end of the day, you've got to, like, play for yourself. And I'm not opposed to flipping, but I think it's when you flip. That's the big thing. Like, okay, you were talking about Cochran and when he flipped in South Pacific. I understand that they, like, you know, were mean to you and, like, you didn't, like, whatever, but it's like, you shouldn't have flipped then. You should have let it go to a rock. The odds were in the favor that Ulan or somebody from Upolu or whatever was going to draw the rock. So then you take out one of them. Then you, like, stay with, you know, whatever his tribe's name was, Savai, and vote out another one. And then, like, then when you have it down to, like, maybe three Upolu members, flip over to them, knock out, you know, Keith and Jim and Ozzy, and then flip back to Dawn and Whitney and knock out the rest of Upolu. And you're in the final three.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about when. Timing is everything in Survivor. And I think when people make, like, rational decisions, like the guys agreeing to go to Tribal Council, that's when people get screwed.
Yeah, interesting. And, you know, we'll see exactly how this is going to shake out, because I think this is going to be one of the crazier seasons.
I think it's going to be a good season. I'm fairly confident it's going to be a good season. And I actually tweeted last night, I was like, as long as Scoopin or Jeff Kent doesn't win, you know, this will be a good season. And it's not necessarily that I don't think they're playing, you know, good games. I don't think Scoopin's playing that great of a game, but I knew that was going to happen. I called that way back when, because the game has progressed so much since Scoopin played the first time. Like, you know, back then, like in the Australian Outback days, when you hit the beach, like, it was all about survival and, like, you know, building shelter, collecting food. Like, I don't even think they started strategizing until, like, day 16. And nowadays, like, when you hit the beach, the strategy begins. Like, It is insane.
Well, how about Mike Scoopin? That this is, he has finally, this is the best he's ever done on Survivor. He has never made the merge before. And now, what is it, day 18, day 19? Now he has finally gotten past the day he fell in the fire. But I have to say, Mike Scoopin was not looking too good.
No, it looked like he's burned. Like, I saw that. Like, I was like, did he, like, do some, like, rite of passage where he, like, burned himself, like, to commemorate falling in the fire? Because he was standing there in his confessional, and he's like, I made it to the day where I fell in the fire. And it was like someone just, like, beat him up. And I was like, what happened to you?
He did seem very beat up for a guy who's been on a tribe that's been winning the whole time.
I know. I don't know. Yeah. Bless his heart. He's easily accident prone.
He does seem a little accident prone so far. So now why do you not want Mike Scoopin to win the game? Why are you anti Mike Scoopin?
It's not that necessarily anti Mike Scoopin. I just think he hasn't really done anything to like impress me. And I don't know, his confessionals annoy me. Like they're so, I don't know. It's just like everything is like a celebration, and his Facebook status is annoying me too.
Oh no. Well, you'd be excited. You, Colton, if you ever go back on Survivor and you get past appendicitis day,
yeah,
you're going to be excited too.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think I'll commemorate it in a confessional. I think I would.
You will. I think you will.
I might. I might be like, oh, you know.
Hey, everybody, this is it.
I might like pretend like I'm getting sick on that day and have Jeff and medical come all out and then jump up and be like, just kidding.
Psych, just kidding. All right, well, let's talk about, how about
America.
Dana this season? Yeah, Dana this season, who went out under very similar circumstances to how you went out last season. What is going on? Is this a epidemic? Because I feel like this happens fairly often on Survivor these days, and I feel like this is not something that ever happened on Survivor really before. I'm trying to think of who the first person that something like this happened to on Survivor.
Mike Scoopin was
it
the first
Bruce?
Medevac.
Well, yeah, but Mike Scoopin fell in the fire. I mean, but was Bruce like the first person to get, you know, taken out from sickness?
Was he before? Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to think. Because he was before that guy in Fiji. There was like that extremely large man in Fiji.
Yes,
that, like,
Papa Smurf.
Almost died. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, him. yeah. And then there was that chef man who almost died in Samoa.
What's going on here? Why is this happening to more and more survivors?
I don't know. I'm wondering if Jeff Probst is poisoning the gays, because we both had the exact same symptoms. The only difference was, like, it was this did upset me. Like, they gave her the option, and I almost wonder, because, like, mine turned out to be a bacterial infection and not appendicitis, even though, like, you know, the symptoms were very closely, like, related or whatever. I wonder if, like, they were kind of having deja vu of what had just happened with me, and they were like, you know, well, we should give her time. And it's like, if they would have given me time, I would have literally had Christina Chow, like, drag me back to the shelter. And, I mean, I would have laid there until, you know, the challenge.
You got better?
And I would, yeah, I mean, I would have forced them to let me stay, because there's no way. Like, if you would have given me the option, there's no way. There's no way at all. I mean,
she ended up having dehydration, which is different than what you had, at least according to what she said after the fact. But how did they treat what you had? Did they just give you antibiotics and then you got better?
Well, they gave me some, like, pain medication, which was really crazy. I went into, like, extreme crazy mode. I started asking, like, did Sharon get off her trial? And they were like, what in the hell is he talking about? Definitely was talking about The Young and the Restless. And so I'd never had pain medication before. And so I just went, like, completely loony and was, like, asking all these crazy questions. And but what ended up happening was they took me to a Samoan hospital, which I do not recommend. If you were ever sick in Samoa, like, just try to live until you can get to another country.
Stick it out.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, don't go there. Especially, and it, you know, I don't think it would be as bad, but, like, they had that tsunami a few years ago, and, like, they haven't exactly been able to, like, rebuild all their, you know, amenities correctly and stuff. And anyway, it's just not a good situation. So I was in the Samoan hospital. They tried to do, like, a CAT scan to see, like, if I was allergic or if I was, if it was appendicitis. They couldn't read it. And so then I, they put me on a plane and I flew to New Zealand. And when I was in New Zealand, I was hospitalized. And I think I was there for, like, maybe, like, 3 or 4 days in the hospital in New Zealand. And I did a round of antibiotics. And they did another CT scan to see if I was, like, to check my appendix or whatever. I had an allergic reaction to the dye from that they had to give you. So it was a horrible state of affairs. And then I came back to the States. And when I got back to the States, I had to do another round because it wasn't completely gone. So.
Okay, so you couldn't have just stayed in the game.
I couldn't have, but I would have. Like, I literally would have. I would have, like, went to tribal council and, like, ran over to Jeff and, like, took the urn and, like, puked in it. Like, that's how bad I would have stayed if, you know, I don't know.
Would you be like Russell Swan then and talk about how you would die to stay in the game?
Oh, hell no, that's just stupid. If I had to hear that one more time, like, last time I played, I was willing to die for this game. Like, we get it. Stop. Like, you weren't very good at it then. You're not very good at it now. Just stop.
To be fair to Russell Swan, I thought he was doing a pretty good job the first time. I don't know what he was doing this time. Yeah, but the first time, I thought he was on the right path.
Okay, but here's the thing. And I get that, and I hear you. But the first time, what did he have to do? His tribe was like, he was in the exact opposite situation that he was in this season. And I find that ironic. He was
kept them together.
What?
He kept them together.
Yeah. Like, he kept them together. He was on a tribe that was, like, dominating. So he never had to go to tribal council. And that was my big thing is, you know, we didn't really see any insight into Galoo until, like, we saw, like, 15 seconds when Yasmin was voted out when they did a double tribal council. But other than that, like, we didn't see anything. So who's to say really how well-liked he was in Samoa?
Colton, what do you have, Survivor Samoa on loop running at your house? All you want to talk about is Survivor Samoa.
Well, you asked about Russell Swan. That's the season he was on. And I'm a big Natalie White fan.
Okay, well, we're definitely not going to get into that right now.
No.
All right, let's talk about RC, who ends up going out last night. And I could see this going either way, but were you an RC fan?
What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like she has a lot of qualities that you would like.
She has boobs and a vagina.
No, that wasn't what I was going for, but she seems outspoken. She seems like somebody who's not afraid to make strong opinions and, you know, not afraid to play the game hard. So I could see you liking that, but it's sounding like that's not something that you care for.
I don't know. I mean, she's one of those people that I feel like I would be friends with the other group, if that makes sense. Like, I definitely see me being more friends with, like, Pete and Abby and Artis, like, that clique. Because, I don't know, this is probably, like, no one else thinks this, but does Artis kind of remind you? Because Pete and Abby kind of remind me of, like a Gabon, like, Charlie and Marcus and Corinne type group, and, like, Artis is kind of like their Randy. Can you see that, like, similarity?
Or Yeah, I guess so. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I can see like me liking Artis because he seems kind of Randy-esque. Like how he was like really mad and like pissed off. He's like, "You don't even want to know what I think." I'm like, "No, actually, I really do. Please tell me." like that. I can see me liking that, and I think I would be friends with those three. I think RC would probably get on my nerves out there, and like the way she is in her confessionals and how she tries to pose herself, and like, that would annoy me.
Back to Artis. Do you think we will see Artis smile at any point the rest of the season?
I hope not, because that's one reason I love him. I love people who are like I don't like these people who go out there and are like, "This is so fun. This is wonderful. Rainbows." And like, no, it's not. Like, I understand positivity goes a long way. And actually, I want to get into something about that because when I'm watching this season, because this is the first season, obviously, that I've gotten to watch after like I participated. And so it's really cool to like kind of see how these people play, and like, I don't know, it's weird. Once you've played and like you watch it now, it's a totally different experience. And so it's kind of like, you know, I watch these people and I'm like, if I would have done that, like things would have been so much better. And like with Malcolm, I can appreciate what he brings to the table in forms of like positive energy. And I'm like, I should have been more like him. Like I should have been more like nice. And like, there was like a number of mistakes I made in Survivor, so I don't even know where to start. But like that would have been a good start with like, you know, trying to be like positive and like just have his like personality. And I don't know, but I can appreciate that. And like that's someone that I would like to have on my tribe. But on the other hand, I also love people who like artists who are like, "Fuck this. This sucks. Like, fuck you. Move." Like,
right.
I appreciate that as well. So I don't know.
Interesting. So would you... Could you keep that up for 39 days? Because I don't get the sense that's your personality.
No.
Like, could you?
My personality results are in. They're negative.
And and what the great thing about Survivor is, because, you know, the just structure of the game, that they strip you of everything in your life, your money, your house, your everything. You know, you have no possessions, the clothes on your back, you're starving to death. Now you are who you are. You can't fake a persona for 39 days.
Exactly.
So,
and I think, and that's a very good point. And, you know, I might could do it for a while. I think with me, like what happened with me and Samoa was, you know, I was never, like growing up, I was never directly with you. I mean, I don't want to say I was bullied because I feel like that takes away from so many kids who actually are like through hell every single day. And so I would never want to say that I went through that because, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to like I mean, this, I don't really even know how to put into words. Like, what kids go through when I think they're bullied, I understand there are different levels, but, like, when I think bully, I think kids who are literally tortured every day of their lives. And, like, you know, they have nowhere to turn. And, like, that breaks my heart. And I know people say, oh, I bullied people, but, you know, we'll get into that later. But anyways, like, yeah. You know, I think I wasn't bullied. I was more so put in situations where there was a level of, like, uncomfortableness, I guess, because, like, I was, you know, in the locker room or whatever, and, like, you know, there were guys, and it was kind of, like, awkward. You know that awkward, like, locker room feeling or whatever, even if you're gay.
I live it every day,
yeah, like,
Colton.
Even if you're not gay, you know, you still know what it is. And that's what I felt like when I found out it was men versus women. And that's not to say, you know, that I want to be a woman or, like, you know, when I say I relate more to women, I mean, I was basically raised by women, you know, other than, like, my grandfather. I didn't have a lot of, like, male models in my life or whatever. And so it's like I was really counting on being closer to the women. And so when I found out it was men versus women, you know, I was 2 years out of high school. I mean, I've only at this point, you know, on Survivor been out of high school for 2 years. My mind immediately went back to like locker room and, mm-hmm. you know, this is going to be awkward. And I have to live with all these guys and, you know, I've never really established myself like in this way. And so it was just, the way I should have approached it, you know, hindsight's 2020, I should have went up to someone like, I don't know, a Matt Quinlan or someone and said, you know, like, I know these guys aren't going to take me seriously. Like, you know, I want to be a part of this tribe. But instead, I decided that the better approach was go whine to the women and just beg for an idol, which ended up working. But,
right.
You know, like I said, I think that was just the first of my many mistakes out there. But
yeah. Well, yeah. Survivor is a game about adaptability. And so whoever is able to adapt best to these circumstances that are always changing tends to do very well. So adapting to an all-male situation is a real test of that. Now, you ultimately were able to figure it out and figure out, okay, these are the oddballs. I'm going to get these guys together. So that is a testament that you do have that capability, but it just goes to show you that, you know, you need to, okay, I'm out of my comfort zone. Now what?
Exactly. And, you know, and it wasn't even necessarily that they were the oddballs. It was just more so because I had a choice. Like, I could have just as easily went with Matt Quinlan. And honestly, you know, little interesting tidbit, had Courtney Moon not broke her arm, Tarzan would have been the first person voted out. And I just think that is one of the most, you know, people always say, what if Colton, what if Colton, what if Colton? Well, my thing is, what if Courtney? Because if Courtney hadn't have broken her arm, the women would have blowed past us in that challenge because there was no way Tarzan was getting across that balance beam. And I would have mm-hmm. been so pissed at that point that I would have went with Quinlan and Jefferson and Jay and Leaf would have voted with us and probably everyone. And Tarzan would have went home. And I just think that's so interesting because if Courtney hasn't broken her arm, Tarzan goes home first, and instead she does, and he's the last man standing.
Yeah, it's a crazy game.
It is. It's very crazy.
All right, let's shift gears back to Philippines now. I still want to talk through RC a little bit here and talk about her game and if there's anything that she could have done better or differently, and I'm sure that there is. It seemed like her whole game turned on either the second or the third episode when she finds the clue to the hidden immunity idol, and she has this confessional, and she says, well, you know, I trust Abby Maria, so I'm going to share this with her. And basically, this decision to share the immunity idol clue totally unravels her game completely.
Definitely. And I think it's her reasons that aren't even shown. I think that what really, because it's really funny because, like, they don't ever give, like, a reason as to why Pete hid the clue. It's like, oh, he just wanted to stir up trouble. I honestly think he was pissed. I think, you know, because they're supposed to have this four-person alliance of him, Abby, and Scoopin, and RC, but yet RC only chooses to share the clue with Abby. And I'm sure, you know, I don't know if she did, but I'm sure she showed Scoopin. Scoopin was her closest ally. And so I get the feeling Pete was kind of like, what about me? And so I think he got pissed off, and I think that's probably why he screwed her over.
Now, some people have said that Pete is playing a little bit like you this season. What is your take on how Pete is playing and his idea of how I'm going to cause chaos and I'm going to get these people fighting with each other? Have you liked the game that Pete has played so far this season?
I've liked looking at Pete as he's played the game so far this season.
Whoa.
No, I'm not kidding, but whatever. awkward. Anyways, you can edit that part out, by the way.
We'll leave it. We'll let it go.
Well, your reaction is what made it awkward. Wow. But anyways, no. He is definitely, I think, if he's playing a game similar to mine, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's necessarily similar to, well, it is similar, but it's definitely not identical. He's doing a much better job of, like, laying low and, you know, he's causing chaos, but he's not being blamed for it. Like, you know, no one knows who put that clue there. Like, he did a very good job of setting RC and Abby against one another. Like, if that's what he wanted to do, then he accomplished it hands down. And, you know, other than that, I mean, we haven't really seen much of P's game. He kind of makes comments similar to mine. Like, I know whenever they were getting ready for Tribal Council, he's like, this is going to be fun. And, I mean, I love Tribal Council. Like, I was all about, I mean, to me, it was just like, if you have a day where, you know, the other tribe's going to Tribal Council, like, you know, and you're thinking, oh, well, like, I don't know. I got bored a lot out there. Like, I always wanted something to do. Like, I hated downtime. And, I mean, I knew on my season I wasn't going home, so it was like, why not just go? I mean, it gives us something to do. We get to go hang out with Jeff.
Yeah, it is boring when you don't go to Tribal Council on Survivor because it's basically a whole day where you have nothing. At least after the merge, you're going every 3 days or whatever, and it really does help pass the time. Got because it. It's really the days when nothing, when there's no challenge and there's no Tribal Council, those are the longest days on Survivor.
They're horrible. And, you know, it's like, honestly, it's almost like, you know, those days, I mean, people, yeah, they talk strategy, but those are the days where people are just like, can we just shut down for the day? Like, can we just, like, not? Because it's horrible. I mean, and I don't know about, like, I know you were in the Amazon and then All-Stars, you were in Panama, right?
Right.
I don't know what it was like at, like, night for you guys, but I remember especially, it wasn't as bad when we were all living on the same beach, but when we got sent to New Manana, we had, like, very little beach. And it was all very shaded and very, like, you know, there were trees everywhere. I remember they, like, everyone was so excited. They're like, oh, you know, we have some shelter for these trees. And I was like, guys, we're going to freeze to death. And sure enough, like, we wanted it to stay daylight all, like, 24 hours. Because when nightfall came, it was absolutely miserable. Like, it's so cold. And I remember, like, having to, like, cuddle with Alicia. And thank God she is, like, Chewbacca and grows hair everywhere. Because
Whoa. That
was all that kept me warm.
Whoa, who knew?
Who knew
that?
Her legs were
little known fact.
Very.
Okay, there you have it. So let's see. So many of the things that I want to talk about from this episode. How did Penner, do you think, did he know to play his idol? As somebody who has been to Tribal Council and has a hidden immunity idol, how did Penner know to play the idol, do you think?
Well, you're really putting me on the spot here, aren't you? I mean, I don't know. All I'm going to say is last episode, go watch Last Tribal Council.
So you're saying that you feel like Jeff is giving clues?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying go watch Last Tribal Council. I mean,
well, I mean, we're talking. We're two Survivor players here. You feel like Jeff Probst is directing the conversation in a way that that Penner should pick up on playing the idol? Because it didn't seem like he said anything at this Tribal Council.
Not at this Tribal Council, no.
Yeah.
But I mean, we only saw a little bit of this Tribal Council. You know what I mean?
Okay. Interesting. Now, Jeff did say... Jeff did say at the immunity challenge, he said, Penner, he's out of the game, and he's going to be in trouble tonight at Tribal Council.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Wow, what about that?
I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I think Jeff should go back to the days where he was like, you know, this is my big thing. I remember, obviously, like, I was always, like, the target of Jeff in One World, and I remember every single Tribal Council, he would ask me, he'd be like, what is your role? And I know that's, like, a simple question, but it's, like, obviously, you know, he knew I didn't have a role. Like, I do nothing. And so I would always have to, like, pick my brain and come up with some, like, bullshit answer, like, well, I provide entertainment to the tribe. Like, Alicia and I are currently hosting a talk show called Manano Talk. where we interviewed the person we were voting out tonight. Like that, I mean, you know, I would say bullshit like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's like a very like minute thing that he would say. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I feel like I understand that it's a show and he has to like get a certain story and like, you know, it has to come full circle. But I think there's a way to do that and not necessarily let things out there. And I mean, and I don't feel bad saying that because I know I'm not the only survivor by any means who said that. I mean, pretty much if you poll like 10 survivors, 7 out of 10 of them are going to say, yeah, Jeff is too involved in like conversation and things that he says. And, you know, I think sometimes, and I don't even think necessarily it's intentional sometimes. I think Jeff just gets caught up in the moment. He just says things and then, you know, later he's probably like, oh shit, probably shouldn't have said that. But I don't know.
Yeah, but if enough people feel like, oh man, Jeff's really picking on me, I mean, I kind of think it speaks to the fact that it's not over the line. At least I don't think. Now, it's been a long time since I played Survivor, and I have heard it has gotten worse now than it was back then. But if for the viewers at home, and ultimately, this is who the show needs to be worried about, I mean, can Jeff only ask vague questions? Or do we want to see the people at Tribal Council squirm a little bit as viewers?
I think squirming's okay, but I don't think it's okay to say, you know, and this is I'm paraphrasing. I mean, I'm not using a direct quote, but it's like, you know, it's not okay to say, well, there's going to be a blindside tonight. If I had an idol, I sure would play it. Like, that's not okay. You know what I
okay.
mean? Like, all but saying that, like, that's not, like, it's okay to say, you know, I mean, it's a fair question to say, Heather, like, who do you really not like on this tribe? And if I would have been smart when he asked me that in One World, I would have said something crafty like, well, you'll find out in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that's a fair question. And he does get angry. Like, if you don't give him what he wants, he does get angry.
Yeah.
But
that does happen. And I can only imagine how it goes now as opposed to how it went.
Luckily, I was never, like, on the receiving end because I always gave him too much. But
yeah.
I know Tarzan. Like, Tarzan would give, like, these elaborate answers. And, you know, Tarzan's vocabulary is, like, the size of Antarctica. And he would just, like, say all these things and, like, you know. And like, there was that one Tribal Council where Jeff was, like, playing with him. He's like, I like this. It's kind of like a game. Okay, that was, like, the only Tribal Council. He was okay with it. Every other Tribal Council, Tarzan got yelled at. And was like, you know, if you don't answer my fucking question, and
yeah, all right. Well, let's bounce around to a couple things here from this episode because there was really so much to talk about. Where does for you, Dang Rain rank for you in all time merge tribe names?
Gangrene?
Dang Rain.
Dang,
like that. Dang Rain.
Oh, I didn't even see that part. Every time that, like, they showed it, I thought it said Merge Tribe.
Yes. Well, they did make the flag, and it was Dang Rain.
I guess I completely missed that. Wow. Okay. I'm Googling that right now. Who came up with it?
Well, they didn't show that on the show. Maybe it's a secret scene, but I don't know.
Oh, love the secret scene. I have not ever... That's beautiful. I mean, if I would have made the merge, I was going to tell them that we were going to name the merge tribe Alley, and that it meant, like, together in Samoan. Definitely my Yorkie's name.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So, do you like that as a merge tribe name, or it's one of the worst ones? Better or worse than Merlonio?
Oh, I liked Merlonio. I love stuff like that. I love when, like when someone like completely bullshits everyone, especially my favorite part of that is when he tells them and like Julie Wolf's like, oh, that's beautiful. That's
yeah.
beautiful. Like, I don't know. I like that.
That is nice. Okay. So how about Abby Maria, who's somebody who has also been compared to you a little bit this season.
Really?
I think as somebody who is going to speak their mind and let people know what she's really thinking. So what's your take on Abby Maria and her game this season?
I like her. I don't really have a lot to say about her game. I mean, that's the thing about a tribe who never goes to Tribal Council. You don't really see how they're playing because you don't really see any strategy other than, you know, like you see like some like ruffled feathers here and there with RC and Abby Maria or whatever. But you don't really see like the dynamics because those dynamics can change. I mean, you know this. They can change on a whim. Like, you know, until you actually get to tribal council and cast a vote, like, you don't know where you stand within the tribe. I mean, you could have been being played for, like, 20-some-odd days. But as far as, like a player, like, not a, being a player, because, like I said, you haven't really seen her, but I like her. I mean, there's not really, I don't know, I like her. It reminded me of me when she told RC, she's like, I don't want to talk to you. And I love her accent. I try to mimic her accent all the time, but I fail.
Yeah. How about this scene that happened last night where Lisa decides, and I thought this was really odd. So Lisa decides, I'm going to go through everybody's laundry and hang up everybody's clothes. No, it seemed like a genuine nice thing to do for people. But I don't know if I would appreciate anybody doing that. Even if I didn't have the hidden immunity idol, I don't think I would necessarily appreciate that.
Honestly, and I've been excited to talk about her. I really like her. Like, she just, I don't know, she's everything I wish Monica could have been. Like, she is sweet, she is motherly, you know, she's not carved out of silicone. Like, she's a real, genuine person. Like, I absolutely adore her. And, like, her reaction when she found his idol, and she's like, I really didn't mean to. That was just precious. Like, you can't be mad at her. Like, how could you be, you know? And I really do think she'll keep her word. I don't think she'll tell anybody.
Well, I agree. I don't think she'll go out of her way to tell anybody, but let's say this, you know, things are coming down to, there's seven people left in the game. Malcolm's one of them. She's on, like, the other side of the, you know, some other side of the numbers. And, you know, they're saying, okay, this is the tribal council. We're going to blindside Malcolm. You don't think she's going to say to, you know, Pete and Abby Maria and Artis at that point, like, you know, we want to make sure maybe, you know, whatever. Or we need to flush the idol at some point. If it suited her, you don't think she would? Because I think she would.
No, I think she would, like you said, if it suited her. But I don't think, like you said also, she's not going to go out of her way. Like, you know, if it would have been Abby, oh, the whole tribe would know. Like,
yeah.
You know. But with Lisa, I think she will keep her word. Because I think she views that as, like, you know, it's not even really about the game to her. It's like, that's just a personal mistake. Like, she shouldn't have done it. Like, she crossed the line by going into his bag. Even though, you know, there have been plenty of people who went through others' bags looking for immunity idols, beef jerky, whatever. I think to Lisa, that's crossing the line.
Yeah, it was an accident.
It was like, and I think she genuinely felt bad about it. And
it was sort of like she found her kid's Playboy.
Exactly.
And it's like, we're not gonna talk about this. I didn't see it.
It's like she found some condoms that he'd been stashing from his time on that thing with Denise, and she was like, I didn't mean to. I really didn't mean to.
And it's like worse for him than it is for her. Like,
exactly.
It's
like he even had that same reaction, like, oh my God, like, my sweet mom, no. It was pretty cute.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
And also, I was gonna point out, there's so many likable people on this season. And I also, well cast. I think maybe, like, you know, casting said, well, after we had One World, which was villain overload, mostly because of me. But, I mean, you know, there were a ton of villains on my season. Myself, Alicia, Matt Quinlan, you know, Mike Jefferson was a villain all for 5 minutes when he stole the axe. You know, like, Troy got kind of angry there for a while. And, you know, Kim Spradlin was a villain. Like, I think after One World was, like, villain overload, I think they were like, we need to cast a lot of likable people. And I think they succeeded in that because there are a lot of people that I'm rooting for. And, you know, back to something that we were talking about earlier in the podcast, like, it's not necessarily that I don't want to see Scoopin' win. It's just there are other people I would like to see win more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bouncing around still. What'd you think of the theme music, what they're doing with the music here? Is it just me, or we got, like, a remix of the Survivor theme in the episode? It's almost like David Guetta got added to the production team for Survivor this season. Are you, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I don't know. I always wanted a scene of me, like, walking down the beach to some Taylor Swift music, but that didn't happen.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, all right. So what's next for Penner? Where does he go from here? Okay. Everybody voted against him and RC. They split the vote. Penner ends up going home. Even Mike Scoopin ends up voting for Penner. Now he knows Jeff Kent is a liar. Carter is a liar. Denise is against him. Zero friends in the game. Where does Penner go for here next week?
Okay. Before I answer that, I have a question. It is related to this. Because you've done RC's interview, correct?
No, RC was a victim of the hurricane, and she's fled from her apartment.
Oh.
And she is without phone service right now. So we have not yet gotten to speak with RC.
Oh, well, bless her heart. Well, my question was, did she know, like, because when Scoopin voted, I had a question of, did she know what was going on? Like, was she under the impression that the vote was being split between Penner and Pete? Like, I was confused by that, and I was hoping she had clarified.
Well, why would they be splitting the vote between Penner and Pete?
Because I was wondering if that's what they told them. Like, is that what they told Mike and RC? Because they had to sell them some sort of story.
See, I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened. I mean,
that's
I have some theories that maybe one theory I was working on last night was maybe did Mike Scoopin find out about what was going on from either somebody on his team or Lisa, or whether Jeff Kent told him what was like, look, we're going after Penner. And did Scoopin say, hey, play the idol tonight. Make sure you play the idol tonight. I have to vote for you, but he knew his vote wasn't going to count. Could that possibly have happened?
But would he have stood by and just let RC go home? That's what I'm questioning. Like,
well, what could he have done?
I voted for Pete.
I guess so. But the thing is, it was a 5-4 vote for Penner. It would have been a 4-4 tie. So if Scoopin doesn't vote for Penner, then there's a possibility that in the tie vote, they vote out RC automatically. I don't know. It doesn't really change anything.
And I'm also very confused about Lisa.
It would have been 4-4-3 if Scoopin voted for Pete.
Yeah, that's true. So RC goes home either way.
Mm-hmm.
This whole merging and an odd number thing is like tripping me out. Like,
right.
But but I'm also really confused. Like, where does Lisa stand? Because like I spent the entire first half of the season under the impression that Lisa was with Scoopin, and you know that
she's a floater.
She is a floater, but I don't really. And I think you know her and Pete are close. I think Pete kind of has her wrapped around his finger right now. But I don't think she's necessarily a member of that artist Abby Pete clique.
No, I think she's going to go where the numbers are.
So she's a leaf.
Well, but I think she seems kind of savvy about it, though. She's a floater, but she could potentially be... I think she's intentionally floating. It's not just, I don't know what to do, so whatever you guys tell me to do. I think she's like sort of like in a little bit of like a Sandra. Where she's sort of like in the anybody but me, I'm going to stick with the numbers, and she could be dangerous in that way.
That's true, because I think if she made it anywhere near the end, I mean, how could you not give her the million? Like, she's,
yeah.
I mean, you know, she's absolutely
unless
adorable.
Somebody exposed her as being an actor. Although, at that point, even if somebody stood up at the Final Tribal Council and said, this woman here was a star of an 80s TV show called The Facts of Life, and you have not heard of this program, but she was a star.
Tarzan is not on this season, Rob. That's not going to happen. Like, that would be Tarzan. Like,
and if she stands up and it's like, yeah, I was on a show. I haven't been acting in, you know, 25 years. I just separated from my husband and I'm broke.
But didn't she say she like lost all her money or something?
Yes. Yes.
I thought I heard that, and I didn't understand if she actually lost all her money, or if she was saying, like, I'm going to tell them I lost all my money.
No, I think she said that she made some bad investments.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. I mean, you know, and who cares? I mean, if she's an actor, or, you know, I mean, I don't know. As long as she's not a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, all right.
I'm just kidding.
So, you know, we're doing so well. We really are. We're doing so well.
That is a joke. Right. He took my advice. He got a real job, and now I think he should really, like, reconsider his line of career.
Well, you bring up Bill Posley, and we got some questions about them. Now, these are questions that come to us from the Rob Has a Podcast Facebook fan page. If you want to ask questions to a guest next week, go to facebook.com/ Rob Has a Podcast. And let's jump right into it.
I only want to answer questions from Rob's taboo buzzer.
No, well, he didn't post any questions on Facebook. Alex Isaac wants to know, does Bill's new job as host of Survivor Live constitute a real job? What do you think, Colton? Did you inspire Bill Posley to go out and become the new host of Survivor Live?
I think so. I think he took my advice, and I think he really went out and it got a real job. Now,
how about that?
I look at me changing the world.
Are you a motivational speaker now?
I should. I was going to conduct some sort of motivation. Yes, I should. You're right. Helping him has helped me find my calling.
It's a win-win.
Bill Posley,
struggling stand-up comedian, not making any money. He runs into Colton Cumby. You turn his whole life around. Now he's hosting Survivor Live.
About a show that he knows nothing about. He knows
quite a bit, Colton. He's hosting a show about it.
He agreed to go to tribal council to get voted out.
Yeah, well, that's because he loves tribal council so much. He loves Survivor.
That's true. He likes to go. He was bored. Yeah. Yes. I don't know. Maybe, I guess there's a difference in knowing a lot about it and being good at it, which, you know.
Well, you know, I know a lot about football and stuff like that. You wouldn't see me catching too many passes.
Do you want to be on my fantasy football team, Cesarino?
Yes. Yes. Just because you may not perform well at something doesn't mean you don't know a lot about it.
No, but I mean, and I don't know, let's not even get into it. I'm happy, like, you know, he got this opportunity and that isn't bullshit. Like, you know, I mean, you can't blame the guy for taking an opportunity that was presented to him, and, you know, good for him.
He's making things happen.
I mean,
all right, here we go. How about this? Chris Turnage wants to know, was Colton asked about coming back this season, or was it ever discussed with him?
I think that's the question everyone wants to know. I don't even know. Like, I don't know if I can talk about it, but we'll just say it was put out there.
Yes, but in which direction? In your direction or in their direction?
What do you mean?
Like, was it put out there? A lot of survivors are put out there. Hey, I should be on this next season.
Oh, no, it was. I didn't put it out there. No.
Okay.
It was put out there for me before my season even aired.
Okay.
So.
Interesting. I mean, it does. It makes a lot of sense that, you know, we have a guy who gets medically evacuated last season, and now we do a whole season about people who got medically evacuated. I mean, it seems like it would mean. It would be a oversight to not at least pick up the phone and ask you.
I think they might would have gotten what they wanted had they not aired the episode four right before 25 was set to leave.
Yeah. So what do you want them to do? Not show the episodes out of order?
Put them in freaking sequester before you show them.
That's a tall order. That's a tall order.
Because that episode aired on Wednesday. And everyone left on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, are you saying you had your bags packed and you were ready to go and then you...
I'm not saying anything else, Estrino. Next question.
All right. Let's see. Some of these things we've already covered. How about... Let's go to, okay, this is fun. This will be fun. Pierre Salomon Dumont wants to know, Colton, who do you think is the sexiest male this season? Is it Carter, Malcolm, or Pete? All right, a little bit of a different Ding Marry Kill version here. Who is the sexiest male on this season?
Do I have to kill one of them?
No. We'll just go. Colton, we're showcasing the kinder, gentler side of you. We're not going to kill anybody on this podcast.
I don't have to kill anybody. This whole podcast, good. Okay, not Carter. God. But knows. I don't know. It's hard. I think if Malcolm cut his hair, he'd be hot.
Really, you don't like Malcolm's hair?
I don't like it. I don't know. I am not all about the Jungle Boy look. Like Ozzy, he does nothing for me.
Okay, so by process of elimination,
I thought Ozzy and Cook Islands was cute, and then he came back for Fans vs. Favorites, and he was decent. But then he came out there in South Pacific with that like nappy do. Ugh, gross. I'd have to say Pete.
Okay. Well, earlier in the show, you made it sound like, yes, Pete. And now it's sort of like, well, I guess Pete.
Well, Malcolm wasn't on the table then.
Okay.
I mean, Malcolm thought.
Okay, fair enough. What about Malcolm with a haircut or Pete regular?
Malcolm with a haircut.
Okay, maybe the finale. Who knows? Malcolm, if you're listening.
Oh, that's like Matt Elrod. Matt Elrod did nothing for me. And then all of a sudden he showed up at the finale with that haircut. I was like... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
I was like, ding.
Yeah. Here. All right. So, Keith Black wants to know: is Pete a great player or the greatest player
of all time?
Yes. Keith Black loves Pete.
No. And I don't think I'm the greatest player of all time. I don't think I'm the worst player of all time, but I don't think I'm the greatest by any means. But I certainly don't think Pete. I mean. I don't know. We'll have to see how the rest of the season plays out. But right now, what has he done that would make him the greatest player of all time?
I don't know, 'cause he's causing chaos. Who is the greatest player of all time?
That is so hard. I don't know. I mean, it depends on your own personal, like, what do you classify?
Short answer.
What?
Give me the short answer on this one.
Okay, the short answer... I don't know. I mean, like I was saying, it really depends on like what you consider a great player. Like, you consider someone who's won twice a great player? Because if that, in that sense, you know, Amanda, it's easier to say who's the greatest player that's never won.
Amanda?
I mean, Sandra. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sandra.
They rhyme. Okay.
Yes, yes. No. Amanda is probably the worst player ever.
Oh, how dare you. That was my most recent guest.
No. I mean, yeah, but... Like, you know, I can understand, well, no, Russell Hantz is probably the worst player ever.
Oh, please, Colton, he listens to this podcast.
He's going to come to my house.
Yeah, I would not, you know, you don't want to insult the Hantzes in a public forum.
No, what are we talking
about?
Timbertina is the worst player ever.
All right, come on. All right, let's we're doing very well.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
No, really. Best player ever. I don't know. I mean, I'm a Parvati fan. I'll just say it.
Yeah, not a wrong answer to that question. You really? I think that there's three right answers to that question.
Wait, no, I'm so kidding. Like, erase all that. The best player ever is Kim Spradlin.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think about my season. Like, I was having a Cochrane moment. I was starstruck. No. Kim Spradlin, for real, is the best player ever. And I would bet money that if she ever came back and played again, she could win that game again all over.
Well, I definitely agree. I think that she is a really, really great player. The other people have done it more than once, have fared well in more than one season. I think that's the only slight against her at this point.
Exactly.
But if she ever comes back... She's not even going to be a target. I mean, that's why she's so good, that if she comes back, nobody's going to say on day one, got to get out, Spradlin.
Until they listen to this podcast and you've like just ruined her entire game.
All right. How about this? Let's go with Sarah Westerfer. She wants to know, and this is our current head of interns this week. She wants to know, Colton, did you have a strategy going into your game, and how was it affected by the One World men versus women twist? So if it wasn't men versus women, what were you going to do in the game?
If it wasn't men versus women, I was going to play kind of similar to like Todd Herzog's original strategy, which was get with a girl, which probably would have been, I don't know, like... My season's difficult because, like, there really were no girly girls. There were no Angies or no Amandas or anything like that. But I was planning on getting with a girl and then also getting with a strong guy, which I knew from the get-go was going to be Jay. Like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, that's who I want. And, like, kind of forming a core three and then maybe, like, bringing on two more and having, you know, a five person, like kind of like the Onions and Gabon, I guess, like having an Onion alliance where there were like different layers to it. And that was my strategy. And then, you know, kind of take that core five to the end and then peel off the two and be the final three.
Okay. How about this? Okay, this is I don't know if you want to talk about this or not.
Okay.
This is from Jordan Parhar. He wants to know, Colton, you posted on Survivor Sucks recently saying that Bill dug up and threw your immunity idol into the ocean.
Uh-huh.
Is this the true reason why you guys didn't get along? Is this accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. What actually happened was I had my idol in a certain location, and it went missing. And obviously I knew, you know, that it was missing. And so I don't even know how much of this I can talk about, but anyway, like it was an issue that it was missing. And, it turns out he is the person who threw it into the ocean. And I spent majority of like a day and a half blaming Mike Jefferson, and he all but like swore on, you know, everything that was near and dear that he did not do it. And it seemed like something he would do because Mike was very, like, anytime I was around or, like, Troyzen was around, he would always make comments to us about, like, yes, your highness, or yes, your majesty. So he was really angry when Quinlan got voted out. And so it didn't make sense. And at that point, you know, I didn't care anything about, like, Bill Posley wasn't even on my radar. And then when I found out that he was the one who did it, that's when, like, I unleashed all hell upon him. And, you know, he also did other things. Like, he put crabs in Troy's bag and, you know, like, it just... He was always up to something, but you didn't see any of that.
He's a practical joker.
Yes.
Well, let's go back to the immunity idol. Why take your immunity idol and throw it in the ocean?
I guess he thought he could, like, get rid of it. I don't think he understood. And I do think, like, he honestly didn't understand the rules. Like, I don't think he understood that, like, you can't take the idol away from someone, like, you know, unless you actually pass it off. And that was so, like, they beat that into my head. They were like, you know, now you can't, like, say you can have this. Like, and so I wouldn't even let people hold it. Like, Troyzen, he would always want to look at it because, you know, he's a fan and he's like, oh, this is so cool. And I would always, like, keep one hand on it. I'm like, you cannot hold it. Like, no, it's mine.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting about that. I mean, why not, though? Yeah, hide it and then use it later, or, what happened? Did you find it then?
A search was conducted. And
okay, it was like,
interviewed.
It was like Phillips Shorts?
Yes, it was like Phillips Shorts. Yes. Search was conducted because
did you speak to your great-great-grandfather and he told you where to find the idol?
No, I did what I do best. I threw it is a good thing that fit didn't show up on television because I'm pretty sure there was like a second tsunami headed towards Samoa when that happened. And
okay. Well, this explains things much more than, oh, you didn't like him because he was a stand-up comedian.
Or any reason other than why, you know, I mean, and the thing is, you know, I can't like say it enough. I didn't dislike him in the beginning. I actually I liked him, and you know, he started getting on my nerves, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, he would like read Tremail, and he would always do it in this annoying fake British accent, and I was like, you know, I don't know, like when you're out there you're irritated to begin with because of the elements, and it's like, you know, can we just please get through freaking Tremail without you having to like put on a show? And you know, but yeah, that was definitely what really started like all the fireworks.
Okay. Let's see. How about from John Radich, and he wants to know, being that Colton is a huge fan of Survivor, unlike many contestants these days, I want to know if that gives you an advantage in the game. Now, we talked about the two types of people who go on the show, the people that are either super fans and you know everything, or people who don't know anything, have never seen the show before. Isn't it an advantage for these players to know so much about the game?
It depends. It definitely, it's an advantage to know, to have a general understanding. Now,
for the sake of argument here, let's say no returning players.
Okay.
We sort of explored how this goes with returning players.
Then yes,
now there's no returning players.
It's definitely an advantage because it was an advantage for me because people like Jonas, who really hadn't watched the show before, he looked to me, that, yeah, that's a very good point. When you're on a season that doesn't have returning players, like let's say that Penner and Steuben and Swan weren't on the season, and Jeff Kent really knew a lot about Survivor, he's in a perfect position. Because these people, like Leif and Tarzan and Jonas, who really don't have any clue what's going on, they look to you, someone who understands the game, to guide them. And that's kind of how I gained control of those guys, was they looked to me as to, like, you know what's going on. And they were just really impressed with, like, my knowledge of the game. Like, they were impressed with the fact that I knew that, like, you know, Tim Bertino was the first person voted out of Survivor Exile Island. And to them, and I always, like, I would lie to them. And I would tell them, I was like, no, there's always a challenge where they, like, do Survivor trivia. Like, you're going to need, like, someone who knows Survivor trivia. And they just ate that up. They were like, oh, well, we have to keep him until we have that challenge.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I had it in my season, too. I think I was well-served in the Amazon that I knew a lot of times what was coming next. Like, okay, they're going to have switched this day. Okay, we're going to merge this day.
And that was another thing, too. You know, I would tell them, I was like, you know, yeah, the switch is going to happen. There's going to be a switch. And they were always impressed. Like, when I predicted the switch, like, down to the day, like I said before, you know, we went to the challenge. I was like, I don't know if it's going to be today. I was like, but I would expect the switch. And then, you know, I had to, like, do the whole dramatic, like, oh, my God, we're switching. And it's so funny because if you notice, like, my faces, like, I wasn't shocked when they announced it. Like, I'm all shocked after I realize who's on my team. I'm like, what?
Yeah. And Tarzan, it seemed like that was a reason that he wanted to keep you around. He said, this young man, he knows everything.
Yeah. Him, Jonas, you know, Leif to some extent. Like, they were, and Troy really appreciated my knowledge of the game because he was also a fan. And so,
I thought Jonas was a fan, though. He wasn't?
I think he was a fan. I just don't think he really had, like, the grasp of it that, like, Troy and I did, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, I think he kind of was like, you know, you guys really know your stuff. Like, he's like, I think Jonas was more of a, he would have fared better in a, like, Australian Outback type situation where he really came to survive. He didn't come to play. Like, he came to, like, live off the land, and, like, you know, his whole stick was, I'm the chef, I will feed you. And, you know, if I wouldn't have liked him so much, I would have been like, look, you have a pot of rice and, you know, a bucket of water. Like, you're not going to be whipping up anything out here that's going to make me want to keep you over anybody else. So, but, you know. But, no, and, like, with Troy, like, I was saying, like, he was really, he was a fan. And so we really were the only two, like, who really, I guess, had a hardcore understanding of the game on the guy's tribe. And so we really liked, like, talking about the game and, like, plotting and strategizing and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Tyler Sloan wants to know, Colton, we all know you have no problem speaking your mind. Abby Maria has some similarities this season. Do you think her lack of a filter will hurt her in the end?
You know, I keep hearing all this stuff about how Abby's so horrible, but I haven't seen it. And maybe it's because I am myself and I lived with Alicia and, you know, I don't know. Like, she seems like a very tame version of Alicia and I. Like, I don't see where it would hurt her because, I mean, I guess it could. Like, if she's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, then, you know, she's pissed off RC and all that stuff, then yeah. But I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like, what can you really say about someone who speaks their mind on Survivor? They were honest.
Okay. Fair enough. She's somebody that I think would be a perfect person to take to the end of this game. Like, you would want Abby Maria in the final three with you.
I mean, so many of these people are like it's honestly a toss-up. Like, it's like, you know, I don't see her winning no matter what the scenario. But, like, there's so many, you know, if she's sitting there with her, Pete, and Artis, and somehow Pete gets exposed as, like, you know, the troublemaker and all this kind of stuff, and then Artis is, like, you know, scowling at everyone. I mean, maybe she pulls off a win. I don't know.
I feel like Pete, Artis, Abby Maria, I think Pete's got the edge there. Artis isn't going to, you know, smile at anybody. Abby Maria is going to tell everybody off. And then all of a sudden, look at Pete, winner of Survivor.
That's true. That's a
and potentially
call.
The greatest player.
I was just looking at it from Russell Hant's terms. Like, if he gets exposed as, like, you know, the sock burner, so to speak.
Right. All right. Here's a two-part question for you. This is coming from Ron Chan, okay?
Okay.
Part one. Colton, are you going to join Amanda Kimmel? as the only two former Survivor players to endorse Rupert Boneham for governor of Indiana.
To endorse who?
Survivor Rupert for governor.
Oh, God, no.
Why not?
I didn't even endorse Rupert for America's Tribal Council. That was the biggest of the shit I've ever
seen. The election
seen.
Is around the corner.
Is it? Is he running on the Republican ticket?
No, he is running as a libertarian.
Of course he is.
So you will not endorse Rupert as governor of Indiana.
Sure, I don't care. I don't live there. Whatever. Like,
all right, fair enough.
If Rupert wants to screw up Indiana, what is it to me? Like, I don't care.
All right, so if you're listening, people behind the Governor Rupert campaign, you can put now Amanda Kimmel and Colton endorse
Rupert. And I can assure you that Rupert just lost, because anyone that I endorse is not winning an election. So, you're welcome, Indiana.
Colton, now, I don't like to talk politics too much unless they're involving a survivor. The election is Tuesday. Are you planning on voting in the election?
I am voting, yes. I will be exercising my right. And I think that's important. You know, here's my little spiel on that. I don't care, like, you know, who you're voting for, but you should exercise your right to vote.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. Are you very into the political debate for this season?
No. That came on when Addie's Ultimate Dance Crew was on, and I watched that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Abby Lee Miller, Mitt Romney, Barack Obama. I'm going to go with Abby Lee Miller.
Okay. Ron Chan also wants to know, part two, Colton, very important, who do you endorse for Miss Survivor 2013? All right, Colton. So,
oh, this is intense.
Now, I want to get your opinion on this.
Okay.
I have been really weighing this back and forth of who should be for Miss Survivor this upcoming year.
And you last want me to come crown? That is such an honor.
Well, I would like to get your opinion here, okay? Last season, it was open to all survivors throughout the dawn of time for whoever could be nominated. This year, I am very strongly leaning that it should be – the next Miss Survivor should be somebody who played – Survivor on television in the calendar year 2012. Do you think that is the right way to go, that to only limit it to the women of Survivor 2012?
Oh, I'm going to go, yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, yeah, that's fair. Let's do that. And I also think we should limit it to, like, they have to be attractive.
Well, I will not put that stipulation on there, because who is to say, besides yourself, who is attractive and who is not attractive?
I will put this list down if you would like.
Yes, and I also think that I may do fewer finalists also. Maybe only three finalists.
Oh,
so we'll see.
So can I endorse two? Can I endorse one from my season and one from this season?
Okay, give us your – and again, you might be – much like many other candidates that you might support, you might be hurting their chances, but sure, give us your – who's your one from one world?
Okay, my one from one world is Kim Spradlin, and I think she's going to win, so that's why I want it to be just this year. And my one from – oh, let's see. This is hard. It's between two. I'm going to go with Miss Delaware.
Oh, Katie. Yes. Interesting. Pageant experience.
Yes. So.
Yeah. Okay.
And Delaware had a good place in the top 15 in Miss USA. So, like, you know, help a girl out.
All right. Very good. Very good. So, all right, more on that in January. We might have to bring you in as a maybe a judge.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how this is received. Okay. How about, let's see. And then another one. Here from John Raddich. He wants to know, I was actually a big fan of Colton's gameplay in One World. However, his behavior was awful and potentially hurt his game had he made it to the end. I would like to know, if Colton came back, would he keep his main strategy and change his attitude, or would he play the same way knowing how it would be portrayed on TV?
Oh, God, no. I would never play the same. You know, even if I wouldn't have been horrible, I wouldn't play the same way. I mean, I think that only worked for, you know, Sandra. I don't know. I don't think you can go into Survivor and play the exact same way and expect to do well. But no, for me, definitely, I would try to keep my mouth shut more. You know, my personality is just, you know, I am inappropriate. Like, I say inappropriate things. Like, but it's supposed to be funny. Like, it's all in good fun. You know, like, I have a warped sense of humor sometimes, and I don't really mean anybody harm. And, like, I really don't hate anyone, but it's like, you know, if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. Like, I'll buy you a drink and, like, make it all better. But it's just, you know, I guess I kind of see myself as a sit-down comedian.
But could you be different? Like, was that the real you on the show last time? Is it possible for you to play a different way, or are we just kidding ourselves and you would be exactly the same way?
No, I think, you know, that was me, but it was me under certain circumstances. Like, there was stuff going on before I left for Survivor. Like, you know, I was in some personal situations and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it was a side of me that, like, I don't like to bring out often. But, so no, I'm not going to say it wasn't me, but, you know, I do think it's possible for me to play differently. Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially, you know, after... For one thing, Survivor humbled me in a sense of, you know, Survivor fans, they have a way of doing that. They can definitely, they can humble, you know, even the most, like, arrogant of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask you one more question. It's sort of along the same lines. This is from Frank Clark. He wants to know, he's a serious question. And I honestly don't mean this in a disrespectful way. Were you embarrassed when you watched the show when it was airing? And if so, did you realize that you could possibly be portrayed as a despicable human being prior to the season? Or was it after he started seeing his edit, did the excitement of being on the show deflate like a balloon? So I guess the question is, when you were out there, were you saying like, oh man, this is going to be like, I'm being hilarious right now. I'm killing it. Or yeah. Like...
And
you know,
and I'm not going to blame anyone because, I mean, it was me doing it. But, you know, like, the producers, like, I mean, I was kind of like their little production pet. Like, you know, I was always getting pulled for interviews. And it was because, you know, I was saying all these things and doing all this stuff. And, I mean, I just remember thinking, like, oh, I'm going to get lots of airtime. Like, you know, da, da, da.
You did?
I never thought I'm going to like a horrible human being. I mean, I remember, like, it was just a few weeks ago. I have my season DVR'd and, like, I was on episode 4. And literally, like, I want to punch myself in the face. Like, I'm like, you are such a fucking idiot. Like, shut up. And, you know, I think even, like, without the backlash, I mean, definitely the backlash was the main thing that made me realize, like, oh my God, like, I was horrible. But just watching that is embarrassing. Like, even if, you know, no one was going to see that except for, like, my friends and family, I would still, like, want to hide under the table. Like, let's say I was at a class reunion and, like, they were just going to play that and, you know, no one else in the world was going to see it. Like, I would still want to hide under the table because it's just, it is embarrassing. So, yes, to answer the question, I was embarrassed. It was after the fact, like, once things started airing. And I think, you know, when you're in the moment, I don't think you realize it. You know, I've said this in an interview before, like, when someone films you and it's like, I'm going to show you how horrible you are, and, like, you have to watch yourself back on tape, I think that's really an eye-opening experience.
It certainly is. Or if somebody's going to play you a podcast that you did, either one. Very eye and ear-opening.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, yeah, definitely, definitely. And
how about this? Was there one, what was the one particular thing that you said that you felt the worst about after the fact, once it aired? What was the, out of all of the things, was there one that you felt the worst about?
The thing that I think was the worst was, it wasn't necessarily something I said. I guess it was more like the way that I acted. I mean, telling Bill to go kill himself, that was really taken out of context completely because, I mean, that's just, and I understand that it's not the most sensitive thing to say, especially, like, you know, with, like, the situations that are going on, you know, in the country and throughout the world or whatever, but it's like, I never meant that. Like, I never meant, like, I literally want the guy to go take his own life. Like, I would never wish that upon anyone. And I think, you know, the way that that came across and, like, the way that it was taken out of context and, like, you know, I literally wanted him to kill himself, that upset me. and people are going to say that I'm not taking responsibility for saying it. I am taking responsibility for saying it. It's just that I didn't mean it in that way. And that's the honest to God truth. You know, all the things, the calling Leaf those names, like that, that was a big, like, I mean, I was trying to be funny. I didn't mean to hurt him. You know, I guess the thing that I learned the most throughout my time on Survivor and after talking with people, you know, after even like Simhar called me and I had a conversation with her, and, you know, one of the things that was really, I guess, the biggest lesson learned for me was, like, you don't make fun of people for things that they can't help. Like, you don't make fun of people because of, you know, things that they can't change about themselves, whether that be, mm-hmm. you know, like their size, you know, their race, their hair color, like their sexual orientation, whatever. Like, you don't make fun of people for that. Like, you know, if you want to, like, joke about something that, you know, someone can change, like their personality traits, like their characteristics. Like, you don't poke fun at someone for something that God created them that way. Like, they can't help how they were born. You know, no one asked to be born, and no one asked to be born a certain way. And so that was my biggest lesson. You know, I still say things, I'm still inappropriate. Like, I still, you know, I'm snarky and try to be funny. And, you know, some people laugh and some people just look at me and they're like, you only say things I would think. But
right. But, now, you know. Did anybody from your show come up to you after the season was over and talk to you directly and say, hey, what you said really hurt me?
No, no one actually did that. You know, everyone, and I think honestly, the only person that was genuinely hurt was Leaf. Mm. If anyone was hurt, I think it was him. And, you know, and he's just not the type of person who's going to come up and say, like, you know, and actually I initiated it. Like, I went up to him and was like, you know, I pulled him to the side at the finale, and cause that's the first time that we see each other face to face. And I told him, I was like, you know, look, like, I honestly, like, I'm sorry that it came across that way. I apologize to his wife. And, you know, both of them were like, it's good. Like, we're good, you know, da, 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 da. And, you know, there are certain other survivors that I'm sure, like, they were hurt by things that were said, but I think some, like, milked it a little more.
Okay.
But, you know, right, and I'm not being rude by that. You know, like, Christina Cha, she understood the situation. Like, you know, Christina has been absolutely, like,
she is the best sport out of anybody.
Christina is an amazing human being, and not even for just the bullshit that I put her through. I mean, you know, for Alicia and, you know, even Jeff, like, she was on the receiving end of a lot of Jeff's bullets and beatdowns at Tribal Council. And, you know, she just smiles through it. And to me, like, that's an amazing person, because I could never do that.
Yeah, and let me just say that we teased her a lot on the show last season, and she took everything with a smile, with a good sense of humor. There was a scene from a podcast we did with John Fincher, and we posted it on YouTube where he was making fun of her Twitter profile about calling her the social media hustler, and she retweeted it. I mean, she was the best sport about everything. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, there are other people who we hardly even say anything about, and they're again, you hear like, oh, this person is pissed off or whatever.
Exactly. But, and I've read this about myself so many times, like, you know, he opened himself up to this by going on a reality show. I couldn't agree with that more. When you sign up, I don't think a lot of these people understand. Even I don't think I fully understood, like, what exactly it means to put yourself out there in front of millions of people and to have them literally, like, you know, you're there for them to entertain them in a way, but you're also there for, if they don't like you, they're going to rip you apart, because everyone has an opinion. And, you know, I don't think a lot of these people understand that that's what you put yourself into when you go on a reality show. People think, oh, I want to be on TV. Oh, I want to be on TV. Well, sometimes it's not all it's cracked up to be. Like, you know. You could be like me, and you could go through this experience, and you could learn a lot about yourself and about other people. And, you know, for me, like, I didn't win Survivor. I'm a huge fan, but it was worth it for me because, one, I got to live my dream. I got to play the game. And, two, you know, I got to meet people and, you know, from all walks of life that I would probably never interact with in a million years. And that was really, you know, it's been an eye-opening experience for me. And it's opened doors, not even just for the people that were on the show. Like, you know, people come up to me on the street that I would never know and talk to me and, like, have conversations and, you know.
What are they saying?
Well, a lot of them, it's kind of, I've never had anyone be just like, you know, I don't know.
Good.
I feel like it's a lot easier to, like, write something out on, you know, Twitter or whatever. I mean, I'm guilty of this. You know, I, like, threaten to send death threats to the writers of The Young and the Restless all the time if they don't read that Nick and Sharon. I'm not really going to do that. But, you know, it's easier to, like, write crazy stuff online than when you actually see this person face-to-face. You know, you don't want to come across as a jackass or whatever. You want to be the bigger person. And so most people, like, you know, the only people that I've really... I mean, the worst thing that's ever been said to me is just people kind of laugh and say, I hate you. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, get in line. And yeah. And I've even told people, I'm like, you can punch me if you want. And they're like, no, it's fine. We're not going to punch you. And I was like, you know, I completely understand. I wanted to punch myself a few times. But anyway, you know, a lot of them, they're kind of like, whatever. They want to meet someone that's been on Survivor. You know, they're a fan, so it doesn't really matter who it is. And then, you know, they want to know about the show and how it all works. And, you know, and then after, you know, whatever, 5-10 minutes of conversation, they're like, well, you're not really, you know, like you were on television. And I'm like, well, I'll take away all my food and, you know, shelter and all that kind of stuff. And you might see a different side. Take away
right.
my hidden immunity idol and you definitely will.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Colton, are you going to be going to the finale in December? Are you thinking about it?
I don't know. I might.
Okay.
I promised myself, you know, nothing against those people who do, but I promised myself I would never be one of those survivors who are reality contestants who, like, you know, follow everyone around. They're go to every single event. Like, and I draw the line. Like, I refuse to, like, sit at the line and sign autographs next to someone from Cupcake Wars. Like, that is not happening.
Like, all right. Oh, fair. But you could show your face at a finale. That doesn't make you, especially when it's the, you know, I think that it's okay. The people who, you know, the first season or two, I think that's more than acceptable.
Yeah, I've decided to start living my life by the rules of WWPD, what would Parvati do? And I don't see her showing up at any finale. So.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, Colton, thank you very much for coming on with us. I think that this was a lot of fun. Hopefully we changed some people's impressions of you over the course of the time. And I thought, you know, we spoke a couple of weeks ago. I thought we had a really nice chat. I think there's more to you than what we saw just on the show last season. And you definitely know your stuff.
Well, I really appreciate that. And it's been great. And, you know, I love, like you said, I love Survivor. And I'm always up to talk about Survivor. So.
Okay. I was going to ask you, who is, of the people that have been on the show, if all the people who were on the show had a Survivor SATs, give me, who's the top three? Who are the people that were on the show that know the most about the show?
Not including me and you.
Well, I don't know if I would do, you know, I have a long, you know, I think that the people who started, like, I knew a lot before I went on the show. Now I know a considerable amount, but I still don't know how great I would do on the Survivor SAT.
I think the people who are going to do the best on the Survivor SAT are going to be the people who can name the entire boot order of everyone. And so for that,
yeah,
it's going to be like me, Spencer, and probably like Cochran.
Interesting.
I don't know. Fishbach. I've never really had a conversation, like, it's been very brief, like, my conversation with him, and we've never actually talked about Survivor, so I don't know, like, how in-depthly he knows, like, seasons past his own. Like,
no, I don't know if he knows a ton of Survivor trivia. So, do you challenge Spencer and Cochran to Survivor Jeopardy?
Oh, I would destroy them. Are you kidding?
All right, the gauntlet has been thrown. All right, good stuff, Colton. Thanks so much, buddy.
All right, thanks. Good night.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Colton Cumby. What do you think of that, Nicole?
That was
amazeballs. Yeah. Yeah, I know. You were listening.
That was so good.
You listened to the whole thing after I did it. Yes. And for appearing on Rob Has a Podcast, Colton Cumby will receive a Tundra hat courtesy of our friends at Tundra Gear. Go to robhasatundrahat.com. Tundra Hat, of course, is the company started by Adidas. They've got hats in every different color. You got NFL team hats. You can go and play around with any hat you want to make at robhasatundrahat.com. And if you buy two Tundra hats, you get one free. Use promo code RHAP.
I do love my Tundra hat. It's so nice and cozy.
It's very warm. For those
I really do like it.
Winter is coming, and yes. Not just for Jon Snow, Nicole.
In March.
Yes. Yes. And it does keep you very warm. I put mine on for like 5 minutes. I was sweating.
I can't wait to bring it to New York when we go home for Christmas.
It's very good.
I hate going home because it's so cold, but now I have my Tundra hat.
It's very good. I might be embarrassed to wear my Jets
Tundra
hat.
No, if your head is bald, you'll be wearing it all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true. I will wear it all the time.
Yes. Do they have pink ones?
Yes, they have every color. You can make anything you want.
I want to make a fashionable one.
In all seriousness, the website is really cool. Like, yeah, you can see, cool. Like, you can see like different heads and like put different hats on different
yes.
people.
You know what head I'm not going to want to see?
Like, okay, all right, we get it.
Yeah,
we get it, Nicole. Mm-hmm. Jesus. so. Nicole, if you caught the show last night,
which I did,
which you did. If you may have noticed, they had a commercial there for Survivor casting and how they are accepting tapes, video applications for people for the upcoming seasons 27 and 28 of Survivor. Mm-hmm. Now, this past week, it came to my attention that the deadline for sending in a video was this upcoming Friday, November 2nd. Mm-hmm. The rumors I'm hearing is that deadline is going to be extended. So keep an eye on the website at CBSSurvivorCasting.com. I think that deadline is going to be extended.
That's fantastic.
And so if you have been procrastinating getting your video application ready and you would like to be on Survivor either on season 27, 28, or beyond, and you either haven't made your tape yet or you've made a tape in the past that has not gotten you noticed, I am offering for the first time. People have been asking for this for a long time. Mm-hmm. I am offering my services to help you get your tape ready.
Right.
I've been doing this over the past week. It's been a lot of fun. I've been working with people on the phone, on Skype, and over email, helping people out. I'm either working with them on coming up with their idea right. for a tape or
going over their tape,
looking at their old tape, telling them what they're doing wrong and how to fix it. So if you're interested in that, you want to work with me one-on-one or via email, go to robhasawebsite.com/pimpmyvideo or click the banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com.
You showed me one of the videos that you had had the person revise.
It was,
and it kept my attention, which
yes,
really says a lot.
Yes,
it does.
Yeah, we're gonna figure out.
Yeah, what it was really good.
What your character is,
uh-huh.
and then we're gonna figure out how to make a video that shows that off.
Yeah, obviously you guys are fans, so you know, make your dreams come true. Make a tape, get on the show.
All right, why not?
Yeah.
All right. So that being said, Nicole, let's jump into I got a new feature today. We're gonna do some listen to some of your voicemails. We have a new feature, but first off, let's jump into some of the old school comments
okay.
and tweets from everybody. We get a lot of comments from people. Sarah Westerfer, she was our head of interns this week.
Good job,
her
Sarah.
And the team compiled everything that was going on.
It's like a portfolio here of stuff.
Yes, we do have a portfolio of stuff. Okay, from Twitter, Nicole, we always like to hear what the survivors are saying on Twitter.
I gotta say, Sarah, I really do appreciate the big text.
Yes, big text. You
yes,
like that?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is from, let's start with Stephen Fishback, who's
Stefan.
At Stefan says, I love that Mike Barassi is featured in the Think You Have What It Takes to Be on Survivor video. Yeah, he came up in my conversation with Colton.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I believe so. I think so. Okay. And then, okay, here's one from at Johnny Fairplay.
Uh-oh.
He says, next week on Survivor, Penner does his at Troyzan impression. Because he's going to go, he's not happy.
Yeah.
He's not happy. This is my island.
Penner goes cray.
Yes. And at Johnny Fairplay also said, Penner is a smart man. Tree mail makes for a better souvenir. Yes, because he did not want to leave with an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a high praise from Fairplay, because he does not care for Jonathan Penner.
He doesn't?
No, he does not. He does not.
Does Fairplay care for?
I don't know. And then at Survivor Penner actually tweeted, we talked about, what did you think of that merged tribe name, Gang Rain, Nicole?
Sounded dirty.
It sounded dirty? You did not care for it?
It wasn't my favorite.
So this is what Penner tweeted about it. He said, I also tried to call the tribe Effing Rain after 16 days, but production said that would never get on TV, so I switched it to Dang Rain. So there you go.
I get it now.
And now listen for me, Penner. When production tells you something is never going to get on TV, that means it definitely will get on TV.
Yes, yes, you've heard that many times.
Yes, I have heard that many times. one of our listeners, at Peppermint Fatty, one of my favorite tweet names, he said, most grueling physical challenge so far on Survivor, Carter being asked to think.
Wah, wah.
Hashtag yeah. RHAP. I loved that last night when Jeff Kent's like, okay, Carter, what do you think? He's like, you know, whatever is good. I don't know.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Carter.
What do you think? That's good. That's good. So, Nicole, what was your take on the episode? Were you, I didn't get to ask you.
I thought it was a good episode. I just really didn't see, I was blindsided.
You were blindsided.
I was blindsided. I don't like getting blindsided.
Did you think that Jeff Kent made the right move to go after Penner, or should they have stuck together?
I think that, you know, Jeff Kent is learning from past mistakes with these returning players.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I don't know if going with Pete is a very good strategic move.
Yeah, I don't think so.
To be honest.
I think he gave up his advantage.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is from our Facebook fan page. Of course, we get comments all the time at robhasawebsite.com/Facebook or on Facebook, facebook.com/robhasapodcast. I should probably just go with one of those. Let's go with facebook.com/... Rob has a podcast.
Yes.
Tim Atten, he gave us the Jeff Kent inappropriate comment of the night.
He gets them every week.
Jeff Kent.
Yes, he does.
Okay, well, this week he said, I thought he had more than one. Tim Atten says, Jeff Kent inappropriate comment of the night, it's going to hurt worse and worse as it gets deeper. Whoa, that's dirty.
Depends where you put it.
That's dirty, yes. I also thought that Jeff Kent had another one when he talked about how he hates being on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
He likes the top.
Yeah.
He's a successful baseball player.
Who doesn't? Okay, so then Matt McCormick also points out, I don't know if anybody's brought this up, but Katie was voted out 12th, but not the first member of the jury. Does this point to the long-awaited return of the final two?
Mm.
What do we think, Nicole? I think we're headed to a final two this season.
I don't know. I don't do math.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Matt Noble, he wrote, hey, Rob, last season I thought Jeff Varner was a great guest. Would it be possible to get him back this season? He'd be the ideal person to give insight into Scoopin's game.
Funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Let's see. Well, let's see if we could track him down soon.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Let's see. And on the Amanda podcast, let's see. Matt K. Curran said, hey, Rob, don't worry. There were hardly any audio problems in this podcast. If anything, the few audio cutouts made the podcast better because it reminded me of the fact that Amanda is constantly blurred. Yes. Reading ahead, you're laughing before I get to the punchline, Nicole. Okay? All right. So, how about this? Let's try this out, Nicole. We haven't done this before, and I have some voicemails here from you guys.
We've done voicemails before.
Well, we haven't, not on the Survivor podcast. We did it on our Lovecast.
On the Love.
And we've made this a little easier for you guys.
Okay.
So, if you have a voicemail question you want to either ask us or give us feedback on the last podcast that we did, go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail.
Ooh, okay?
There's also in the top header on the website, there's a little text that says voicemail. You can click that as well.
It's no wonder you don't come out of this office. All you do is just make Rob has a podcast
I make
slash
lots,
blank
lots
every
of
day.
Yeah, I'm just making links in here all day long. Mm-hmm. So, Nicole, are you ready to hear some voicemails from our listeners?
I was born ready.
Okay, here we go. So, let's give you an example of here's when you leave us a voicemail, ideally nice and short, 15, 20 seconds. That's what we like.
Is there an outgoing message that they...
Like, no,
is
it, it's just...
Hi, you've reached Rob Has a Podcast.
It's not with your phone.
Uh-huh.
You go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. It's a button that says record. You talk, you use the microphone on your computer.
Oh, I get it.
Okay? So here we go. From our friends over at SpeakPipe, that's the makers of our voicemail system. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Here's from Ron Chan. Okay, let's give you an example. Here's how the voicemail works.
Hi, Rob. This is Ron Chan here. And I was wondering, who has a better chance of appearing on the podcast? Heidi Hamels or the sexy cougar Deb Eaton?
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. Sure, it's a question everybody's been wondering.
Who has a better chance of appearing on the podcast, Heidi Hamels or the sexy cougar Deb Eaton? I would have to say, if I had to be a betting man, I think the person who has a better chance of appearing on this podcast would be, what do you think, Nicole? I know the answer. I want to ask what you think.
I love how you pointed to your brain.
Yes. Yes, because I know the answer.
Deb Eaton.
You think Deb Eaton? And that is correct. Deb Eaton. Better chance of Deb Eaton appearing on the podcast than Heidi Hamels, which is sad because I consider Heidi to be a close personal friend.
Well, when you get $20 million, you know, things
Million? More like 10 times that.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. They say money doesn't change people.
Well,
sometimes it does. Sometimes
it makes them better.
It makes them better. Yeah, and I made Heidi. I put her. Well,
oh yeah, you made her.
I put her over.
Uh-huh.
I put her over.
Sure, you did.
Okay. All right. So that was a pretty good question.
Yeah, Ron Chan, so articulate.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you. Here's another question. An interesting one. This comes from Jordan Parhar. Not exactly Survivor related, but interesting.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hey, Robin, Nicole, Jordan Parhar here. My question for you is, what are your thoughts on Lucasfilm being bought by Disney, and do you think the new Star Wars trilogy will be any good?
Okay.
Oh, so they're making a new Star Wars trilogy?
Yes, Nicole. So I know you've been very deep in yoga and working.
At work.
And working all week. So Disney...
I did hear the story.
Yes, George Lucas has sold the rights to the Star Wars franchise to Disney this week for $4 billion.
Wowzer.
And as part of this deal... that they have announced that there are going to be three new Star Wars movies, Star Wars 7, 8, and 9, that are going to be made out of this.
I hope they don't get Hayden Christensen back.
And so the question is this a, do I like this move or do I not? Now, I'm not the biggest Star Wars guy, and Nicole would be upset if I mentioned the fact that I am actually a much bigger Star Trek fan Star Wars fan. That being said,
I actually liked Star Wars when I was a kid.
Yeah, so who didn't? Everybody likes.
I wanted to
everybody enjoys
Leia
the Star Wars
bikini.
So is this a good thing? A lot of people are upset about this, but I will tell you definitively that this is a good thing. George Lucas is crazy. He is Castro right now, sitting on, and Star Wars is Cuba, and he is running Star Wars into the ground. He has been a horrible dictator of Star Wars. There has not been a good Star Wars movie.
He's like a reality star.
Empire
that can't let it go.
Right, he can't let it go. He made a good Star Wars. He made a good Empire Strikes Back, and then he started going crazy with Ewoks and everything. Return of the Jedi. Then he made three prequels, which were all terrible movies.
Uh-huh.
Now Star Wars has been free from the. From the grip of Castro, who's running it into the ground.
Yes.
This will be a new hope for Star Wars fans that maybe there might actually be a good Star Wars movie for the first time in 30 years.
I think you're going to make some people mad with that statement.
We'll see. That's what I do. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
now,
bad boy.
And now, finally, let me give you an example of a bad voicemail.
Oh.
This is exactly the kind of stuff
don't
that we
say
don't
that.
Want. And this comes to us from someone by the name of Bane.
Hello, Robin Nicole. I'm coming to you live from a large hole in the desert. It's Bane. I only have two questions for you. But first, I'd like to say I'm a large fan of Robin's podcast. We don't have food or running water, but we all have iPods.
All right. So, yeah.
I didn't know the desert got such good internet.
All right, not good. We're not getting to the point.
I prefer those.
You prefer that. All right, just come in. Here, okay? Hey, this is so-and-so. Robin Nicole, blah, 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 blah. Thanks.
You're awesome.
Bye.
Thanks.
Okay. Quick question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go more than 30 seconds. Otherwise, we're probably not going
to
play it.
Unless you have something good to say.
Unless it's...
If you have some gossip, go for it. That's like 5 minutes. That's fine.
It's brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Just get to the point. Keep it short. Be clear and concise. That's your key.
And end it with, you're beautiful and funny.
Yeah. And, you know, be funny. Be good. Mm-hmm. And we'll get you on. Rob has a website.com/voicemail. Wait, do you like that segment?
I do,
Nicole?
Like this segment. Okay. I'm going to leave some voicemails.
Okay, good. Good. So hopefully next week we'll have some more of those. I think it's a fun way to end out the show. All right, Nicole. So, that is going to about do it for, Rob Has a Podcast for this week.
Yes.
I will be back on, Tuesday with some, Rob Has a Web Show.
I'm going to try to make it on Tuesday.
Oh, you are?
I'm going to try really hard. I really want
to
be there.
Well, it's always more fun to podcast with you.
It's just really hard when I work so many days in a row and then to do the web show and then having to go back to work that night.
Yeah. It is tough. So, we always appreciate...
Being that I have to save lives at night.
We always appreciate, having you around. Do you want to talk about what you're doing over on prettyfitchick.com?
Yes, I do. We are on day five tomorrow, of the 39-day fitness challenge on thatprettyfitchick.com. And basically what it is, it's 39 days of working out consecutively for 39 days, with some rest days in between. And I've gotten a really good feedback from it. Lots of people are involved. People are checking in. They're working out, and they have all these goals. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, I think you're helping a lot of people, and it's really cool what you're doing.
And people are helping each other, because when they check in and they're letting people know what they're doing, it's actually inspiring other people to get off their butts, work out, and better themselves. So it's really fun, and if you want to get involved, it's not too late.
And some rap listeners are even getting in the mix.
A lot of rap listeners. We got some boys up in there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's for everybody.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Very good.
Very excited.
Yes. And even I'm participating.
Yes, because I have a gun to your head.
Right. That's right.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for coming on with us. This was a lot of fun today. Had a good time. For you sports fans out there looking for some action this weekend, check out our friends over at draftstreet.com. Go to robhasawebsite.com/draftstreet. And get an extra 40% on your deposit for individual fantasy games that just take place over the weekend. If you're like, a lot of people I know, your fantasy team is dunzo, start over every weekend at Draft Street. Go to robhasawebsite.com/draftstreet. All right, Nicole, that is going to do it for the podcast for today. Mm-hmm. Have a great weekend, everybody. Hope everybody is doing okay. Our friends back home and everything.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Yeah.
Hopefully the lights get turned back on, and we will talk to you soon. And don't forget to vote for Rob as a Podcast.
Don't vote. Best
Entertainment Podcast at podcastawards.com once a day from now until November 15th.
And get those divorce papers ready.
Yes, and I'll shave my head if we win. Oh, Dan Giesling will shave my head.
Yes.
Even better.
I'm gonna put him in a temporary...
Do you think he will mist me with a water bottle before he shaves my head?
I will mist you with something cracking over your head.
Okay. All right. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye, guys.